Hello.
Hang on a second.
Okay. What's wrong?
My pants are falling down.
I didn't know you wore pants.
Only when I podcast. My butt cheeks hanging out. There we go.
That's called old man ass when you start to lose your ass and your pants fall down.
That's unfortunate.
I was able to slide out of my pants with them buckled the other day.
So there's a convenience factor.
Yeah.
You're getting old.
Barb thought I had a new pair of jeans or something. She's like, why is it still buttoned?
These haven't been worn. The sad or good, I don't know.
Well, it's old man ass.
Old man ass.
Sad ass. Yeah, it turns, you know, when you're younger, your butt is flamboyant and full. And like then
like breasts.
Yeah. And nice then and then when you get when you get older like us, you get old man ass.
Hanging
the
ass.
Cheeks start to lose form. And jeans are made for cheeks.
And yeah. I can see that. That explains plumber's butt.
There you go.
Old plumber's
man ass.
Old man plumber's butt. Which is unfortunate because I think, you know, in the realm of things, we would rather see young butt exposed as opposed to old man crack.
That's right.
So it's cruel fate.
It's a cruel fate. The physics doesn't work right in our favor.
That is not intelligent design.
Yeah.
It should be the opposite. Excuse my cough.
You're still coughing, huh?
Yeah, it's been like a month.
Well, let me tell you about what my cough a little bit, because I've been coughing a lot too. See?
You have to adjust the levels.
So every year I get cough and it takes me a while because I'm asthmatic or whatever. And every year I get reported to my manager that people report me for coughing. Fucking assholes. I'm not contagious. I just can't fucking breathe.
Right.
So I get reported. The other day I walk in and there's fucking Lysol in my cube. I'm like, God damn it.
That's rude.
Yeah, it is. Fucking assholes.
But you should, well, you just got to take that can and then when anyone walks into your cube, just spray them.
That's what I'm going to do from now on because I don't know who did it. So they walk in and I'll fucking spray them.
There you go. Sanitize.
Spray. You're clean. Yeah, you're clean. You're okay now to come in. You can come in now. Yeah.
Man, that's very passive aggressive.
I actually think that coughs or whatever, colds are getting more prevalent as far as like getting rid of coughs. I don't know what it is, but just in general.
This is the first one I've had that's hung around forever.
Yeah.
And I feel fine besides... Just
you feel like you can operate and stuff, and you just have to cough.
Just got phlegmy lungs.
That's right. So we went from old man pants to phlegmy lungs. You get it all here on Geek Brunch.
That's right, the truth about getting old.
Yes.
They don't tell you in school.
We've been podcasting a long time. We tell you how aging works.
You can go back to listen to our early episodes to hear us when we're young and vibrant.
And we weren't coughing. And
no coughing.
We could walk. And
our pants were staying on.
Our pants never fell off.
They only came off when we meant to take them off.
Well, we were so good looking that we could not wear pants.
That's true.
And it wouldn't shock anybody. People would be like, wow, that guy's sexy.
We weren't scared. Yeah, we weren't scaring children with our saggy ass.
Yeah, saggy ass. Now we got saggy old man ass.
There goes the video casting empire I dreamed of.
Yeah. We were going to go do YouTube videos, but... We got old man ass, and we can't do it anymore.
It's ruined. Melting off our bodies.
That's right.
We've lost elasticity. That's the problem.
That's right. You can't even answer the goddamn mic. You know, fucking, I call you on Skype and your pants start falling off. Because old man ass.
Old man ass.
Yeah. You're like, why the fuck are my pants around my ankles? I just was fucking walking to the mic. Yeah, I just pulled them up.
I just reached to push a button on the computer.
Yeah. I'm going to title this old man ass.
That would get the hits. You should have gone into marketing.
That's right, I should have.
We need to sell this product. What should we call it? How about old man ass? It'll fly off the shelves.
Are you suffering from old man ass?
That's right. Unfortunately, we can't tell you what you can do about it.
Yeah, because we haven't figured it out yet. We haven't invented anything for that. Too bad your comic book is all ages. We ought to do a web comic together that where we could just get away with murder.
If anything we want. That would be good.
Yeah. And then we would quote our friends, unlike some people, on their fucking comic book. Like, we could have had quotes on Dr. Bananas, but fuck that.
Nope.
Instead, he gets something.
I thought we weren't going to say the name of that comic anymore on the show.
Oh, yeah, we're not going to mention that.
We just call it the Drunk Monkey Book.
we won't be supporting the Drunk Monkey Book anymore. You won't hear us reviewing the Drunk Monkey Book.
Nope. No drunk monkeys.
Nope. No more. Just like they say, mutants no more. No more drunk monkey ass.
No more drunk monkey droopy ass.
Droopy ass anymore. No more Magnum P.I. drumpy monkey ass. Scarlet Witch just said that.
I remember. I remember that.
No more.
It was yesterday. No more monkeys.
Yeah.
No more monkeys, she said.
No more drunken ass monkey hand lifting missing hands. Lorena Bobbitt monkey fuckers. So if you hear coughing, I'm not going to edit it because I'm too fucking lazy.
I'm muting when I blow on my nose.
Oh, thank
Cause,
you.
Because I care about the audience.
Yeah.
The coughing, yeah, that's going to be a tough one because it's going to be constant.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm not as bad now. It's actually better in the morning. Like at night, it's bad. I don't know why that happens.
Well, you know why I had to cancel last week? I had a stomach bug. I ate a fucking burger and ice cream, and I don't know which one it was.
You ate the Dr. Pepper ice cream.
I don't know. I think it was the burger with the sunny side up egg on it. It was with jalapenos draped all over it and some sauce that was really hot.
Nice. It's hard. Barb had a field day with that one.
Oh yeah, she says I throw up like no other man. She says the whole house shakes. She says it sounds like my whole insides are coming out.
All because of you to have a raw egg on your hamburger.
Yeah, I guess what I ate today, a breakfast burger. God damn, you think you'd learn, right? No, but this was fried. This was fully cooked egg.
Might not have been.
It might not have been.
Might not have been. Well, it might not have been the egg. It could have been. That's what, like, when you go to a restaurant.
It could have been. Oh, I see what's going on right now. Is Bill Bomer will eat eggs. He's going to blame the meat. And then you're going to get on your fucking pedestal and tell me how bad it is to eat meat with your pinky in the air. I see what you're getting at. I got to it before you got there.
All I'm saying is that if you're going to eat flesh of another animal, you take your chances.
Well, actually,
I was gonna say, it could have been like the lettuce or something. So, you know, All you need is a coworker who doesn't wipe their hands well enough.
After they go
Touching
poop.
touching your buns. It's all over.
Alan
at the special sauce.
Alan has already turned this podcast off about 10 minutes ago.
I think he turned it off when we talked about
old man ass.
Man ass.
Yeah.
That didn't get him then, the shaking the house with the vomit probably.
Oh, that
killed it for him.
Yeah. We like lose listeners. We're the only podcast with
our numbers go down as the podcast
go down. Like as the higher our numbers go up, the numbers drop, the listeners drop. I don't give a fuck.
They can't take the heat.
They can't. They don't know what good is. They don't know what natural progression of aging does.
That's right. They're afraid. They're afraid of death, really.
Yeah.
They can see us moving towards our death.
You go listen to your happy-ass podcast where everybody's got shapely butts. And ass. You can't handle the truth.
Can't have two guys hacking up their lungs.
And vomiting all over the place because of
rancid eggs and
boiled eggs.
Vomiting while their pants are falling down. One hand on the toilet, the other your pants up. Sad.
Praying to the porcelain god.
It's horrible. I'm sorry you had to go through that just for Dr. Pepper ice cream. Man, you posted that menu?
Yeah.
That cinnamon chocolate ice cream sounds amazing. I love cinnamon ice cream.
I love cinnamon ice cream, but I'm not a fan of chocolate.
Chocolate, yeah. I've never had chocolate. I don't think I've had chocolate cinnamon.
If that got me sick, I would eat it again and get sick. Because it was good ice cream. Mm.
I don't know about Dr. Pepper ice cream.
It was real subtle.
Yeah. I know that. I think Burger King has a Dr. Pepper shake.
Well, have you ever had a Dr. Pepper float? It's like a root beer float.
I have not. I've had a root. I'm not really a big fan of root beer floats.
But do you like Dr. Pepper?
I do. I love Dr. Pepper. That's my favorite.
There you go. Well, Dr. Pepper float.
I'll try it sometime.
Well, today. But I selected. No, no, don't try it sometime. Try it today.
I don't have any Dr. Pepper. I got Pepsi.
Oh, Pepsi float. Harley just got shit on by a bird.
Nice. That's good luck.
She got shit on by one of your birds. Your bird lady? One of your birds shit on our dog.
Barb hates Harley.
Yeah.
Truth comes out. Her trained birds are... this is the day it all changed for you now. Every time you walk outside, the birds are going to attack. That's a clever plan. Barb's been working on this for years.
Training those birds. Bird shit off her face. I got it. You have to do this kind of stuff when you have like 1,000 birds outside because the bird lady. She's the bird lady from Alcatraz.
That's right. People say, oh, I love your porch. It's such a nice, like, white. The white paint is beautiful. You say,
yeah,
this is white.
Yeah, this didn't paint.
It's red.
It's got lots of bird shit everywhere.
That's right. Saves you having to paint anything outside.
She even, like, warms their water so they could have a sauna, you know, in the cold. So they can jump in the water and have a little hot tub. So the birds go hot tubbing.
Does she heat up your water, too?
No.
Of course not. Just the birds.
The birds. Yeah.
Oh, I remember. I was going to say something about cinnamon ice cream. When we were in, I think it was at Epcot.
Yeah.
In the French pavilion. Mm-hmm. There's like a French ice cream store.
Oh, we have like never a little French tried ice that. Cream shop.
It's kind of hidden away a little bit.
Ice cream at the French place in Epcot.
It was so good. And they had like a, it was like a cinnamon pecan, I think.
I don't like pecan though.
I don't remember if it was pecan. It was something like that though. I think it was a nut of some sort.
Barb doesn't like pecan. That's weird.
She doesn't like pecan?
No. She likes cinnamon, but she don't like pecan.
You guys are No, that's okay. Pecan. I think it was pecan. I have to look it up. It was good though. Oh man, that French ice cream was delicious.
But you're a man of nuts.
It was nice and rich.
You'll drink nut milk, cheese, nut, whatever.
Yeah, whatever, nuts.
Yeah, you'll suck on nuts. Roasted nuts.
Yeah, roasted.
Salty, sweaty nuts.
Coated, honey glazed.
Honey glazed nuts. There you go.
Warm. I love warm nuts in my mouth. Yes, but I recommend the French Pavilion. And the thing I like about Epcot is, like, when you go into a store, the kids working there are all, like, from the countries that they're representing.
I haven't noticed that.
Well, it's definitely more noticeable in some places, like in the, because in the French one, they're all like talking French to each other.
Well, you know, where we usually eat is the Japanese one.
Mm-hmm.
We usually eat there, but we've eaten in Italy. We've eaten. I don't think we've eaten in France. French ice cream sounds good. I'm a fan of gelato, which is not France, but I love Italian.
Yeah, gelato's good.
I love like a pear or blueberry gelato, and then stracciatella. Oh my God, I love that. But it has to be like done right. Like some people claim it's gelato, but they like half-ass it.
Yeah, it's a very specific ratio.
I don't like when gelato is like ice cream because it's not. It's distinctively more creamy and its texture is very different. I love gelato. We used to have a gelato place here and it was amazing. The guy was stationed in Italy or something.
Okay, so
but he acted in the Air Force and he used to make like the best gelato, like gelato like I have never ever tasted before. But they went out of business. So good. And when you buy gelato, too, it's always in one of those little small cups. So you don't get too much. But you could get a big cup, which is not too big. It's not like getting a Blizzard at Dairy Queen. It's just like a little cup, and then you could get like three flavors in it.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Love it.
I don't remember which flavor. I haven't gotten gelato in a while, so I don't remember what flavor I like the hazelnut. Is it hazelnut? I think it's the hazelnut.
There you go with the nuts again. I hate hazelnut because hazelnut's what they use in that fucking Nutella or whatever. That shit's awful.
It is. I don't eat Nutella.
Have you tried it? No, I mean, like it, but or because you'd rather make
it? I don't know. I just never. I just have no desire to try it, I guess.
Well, we were in Arizona, and my sister-in-law brought a funnel cake, and I was like, oh, God, I love funnel cake. But then it was, like, topped with Nutella, and I was like, you know, I was, like, fighting through it.
Cry, tear coming down your eye.
Yeah.
Did you eat through it?
No, I just took a couple bites and I couldn't do it anymore. Bites.
We got some funnel cakes at Six Flags last time we went there.
Yeah.
And we upgraded to the sundae one where they put ice cream and whipped cream on it and sauce.
Mm-hmm.
It was rich. And indulgent.
Yeah. You've been taking a lot of vacations lately. Well, no, that wasn't a vacation. That was just a weekend excursion. You were celebrating a birthday,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's... Our Six Flags is on... Like, no. Oh, maybe. Hang on.
His pants just fell down. He coughed.
Oh,
and his pants slipped
I coughed
down.
My pants fell down.
Because of old man ass.
I was going to say, no, Six Flags is only like 45 minutes from us, so we had season passes, so we went there a bunch. And the last time we were there, it was like the last day.
The last day before they closed for the winter, or what?
Yeah, it was the last day before they closed, and in their gift shops, they had like a lot of stuff was 50% off. So I finally got the hooded sweatshirt I was looking at.
Of what?
It's a Suicide Squad.
Oh, nice.
Has like the logo.
The logo for the movie? From the movie? Hello?
Sorry, I was coughing. Yeah, from the movie. Yeah, it's a movie one. So it has the, it's black and then it has like a red logo on the front of it. It's nice.
Yeah. Such a good movie. I like that movie. Matter of fact, I've kind of gone out of the toy world. Like, but yeah. I like know what I want for Christmas. I want this Harlequin hot toy from Sideshow Collectibles. It's from the movie. Margot Robbie on it. Oh my god, it's so detailed.
Are they like expensive ones?
Oh, they're like 250.
Ah. Oh, I think I might have seen that one in previews. Do they have those in previews?
I'm not sure, but you could like pre-order and do payment plans of like $50 a month or something. And I also want the Deadshot though. They're just freaking amazing. Like, Knutson bought the Walking Dead one of Rick, and it just looks so detailed. He like poses him outside and stuff, and I don't know. It sounds like fun. Sounds
so
like something
poseable?
I want to do. Yeah, highly.
Okay. So it's kind of like a cross between a statue and an action figure.
Yeah, highly detailed though. Like they use models of their faces and stuff to 3D.
Oh yeah, that's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that looks just like him.
Yeah, it's amazing. The Will Smith one is awesome, too, because it comes with the mask. And the thing is, they come with, like, all kinds of different, like, hands and stuff.
Accessories
and stuff, yeah. You could, like, hold the gun lots of different ways and pose them in different things. I don't know. It's really awesome. Like, the Iron Man one has, like, LEDs all over it. You know what I mean? Like, the repulsor rays will light up. That one's expensive as hell. It's like in the 300s.
Man, yeah, they must use 3D models because these are like, the faces are like exactly the actors.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Just need to
kinda
go
creeping
down
me out.
One more rabbit hole.
I gotta look at these things now.
Makes you want one, especially when you go
like
look at, like,
Star
if you find,
Wars?
Yeah. Keith has Han Solo and Chewie. And the Chewie one comes with a brush to comb its hair.
Wish I had Knutson money.
Yeah. That's what he saves for not buying comics anymore.
That's true. If I just spent all my... Oh, that Chewie's awesome.
Yeah. I did a poll. Like, how many comics do you buy monthly? And his was a goose egg. Zero.
Nothing. Buying nothing.
He doesn't even buy number ones like you.
It's terrible. I buy lots of number ones every month. I was amazed how many I buy. It's like, dang, there's a lot of number ones coming out each month.
Yeah.
But there are. There's probably like a good 30 number ones every month.
Oh, so what world are you in? Oh, but you're in an indie world.
Well... No, all of
there's a lot more number ones than 30.
Well, yeah, the ones I get, I guess.
You're but even not, you're not a DC. Marvel and DC guy, though.
No, Marvel and DC only have like about five or, I mean, most like five number ones a month, unless they're rebooting.
Well, they're constantly rebooting. So, Marvel, yeah. You get like a 6 month season, and then they're back at number one.
Yeah, but yeah. Although lately they've done like they haven't started renumbering, but they solicited like a new starting point or a new number one, even though it's number seven or whatever.
Yeah. But a lot of them are number ones, like Avengers is number one. Some of the titles I think that were doing pretty decent at the higher numbers, they just slapped a number one on it but kept the original numbering. Oh, well. So do you want to dig into some of our books?
Sure. I think I need to take a cough drop. That'll be delicious.
What kind? Halls? Halls cough drops? Or
Halls.
Ricola!
No, I think I find the Halls do the best job.
What is she eating? I hope it's a stick. She's chewing like she wonders why she gets the runs. She eats all this bird shit and stuff. She likes aspen tree. Have you ever chewed on aspen tree?
I don't think we have aspen trees here.
Oh. Well, if you ever come to Colorado, we'll let you chew on some aspen tree.
Is that the one that gets you high?
No.
Is it delicious?
I don't know. I don't chew on it, but I know how you like to chew on tree.
I do eat lots of sticks.
Sticks and bark. You'd survive if we were stuck in the woods. I don't know if I would.
Yeah, I just eat aspen trees.
Yeah. Then your pants would really fall off.
Let me see. I'm looking to see if there's any Marvel number ones this month that I'm getting. I don't see any.
You don't get much Marvel in DC, bro.
I get some. Some? What's up with Atoll number one? This is like the ninth time it was been solicited.
And it was a different publisher, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it switched publishers.
Wasn't it Devil's Due the first time? I don't remember.
Sounds familiar. But I know this is at least the third or fourth time it's been solicited.
Yeah, I ordered it. It looks interesting. I like shark stuff. Have you seen The Shallows yet?
No. Wait. Which one is that?
It's a shark movie.
Is that the one with the girl on the beach?
Yeah.
She gets stuck on the rock?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not familiar with that one. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
I saw that recently.
There you go.
With Blake Lively or something like that?
I like her. Oh, my God. She was in Green Lantern.
She was.
She was Carol Ferris.
That was your favorite part of that movie, I think, wasn't it?
I liked that movie.
I did, too.
It's weird because people shit on that movie, but like for rewatchability, I would take Green Lantern way over Deadpool. Like when I saw Deadpool, I really enjoyed it, but like for rewatchability, it was painful.
Really?
It wasn't funny, and then like the scenes where they're torturing him again, I just didn't want to do it.
Interesting. Yeah, I haven't gone back and watched the Green Lantern.
That one I could watch over and over again.
But I did like it.
It's just lighthearted and
yeah,
fun.
Yeah, Shallows was good though. It was a nice little contained story. I thought it was very very well done.
Yeah.
Like, trying to figure out how she's gonna escape this situation.
The bird saved her life.
With the killer. The killer shark.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the part where she's climbing up that dead whale. It was disgusting.
Yeah, that's
So
what
it
actually started it, though, didn't it? That was
well,
a
that's what attracted the
feeding
shark.
ground. Yeah, no, that whale was the it was its feeding ground, and
Right.
didn't like her messing with it.
Yeah, she got too close to it. But she was checking it out, right?
Yeah.
But then the shark came and she had to climb up on top of it. But in order to climb up it, she had to like dig her hands into like the rotting corpse,
Yeah.
into the flesh. It was like, oh, fantastic.
Yeah, it's a good
I
movie.
enjoyed that one.
She got the c cough drop in there.
Yeah.
So you've been sick probably a week longer than I have.
I
You've
don't
been
even know when it started. It's been
I think
so
it
long.
started last year.
It's
Bless
been.
you.
I
All
think I
right.
was sick on my birthday.
You were.
It was before that, even. Yeah, it's been like a month.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. I heard about these coughs that don't go away.
Yeah. I get it every year.
These super bugs. At first, I was working from home, but this eventually it's like I can't work from home for like a month.
Yeah.
I gotta go in. Say, fuck my coworkers. They're gonna just have to suffer through it.
Just spray them with Lysol so
That's
you're
right.
good. So,
So, books. We
yeah.
got a bunch. Oh my gosh, I was looking through like my stacks of like recent books. There's so many good books. It's like, oh. I couldn't even choose what to read.
Yeah.
It
This
was
was a good
difficult.
stack. There was only one book I didn't like.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I don't even remember all the books that we chose. I'm trying to look through my stack here. Oh, look at these riches. Comic book riches. We definitely have the greatest hobby in the world.
That's right.
Oh, look at this. Oh, that was good. So is this one. Oh, I like this one too.
So good,
Oh,
but
this is good too.
it's weird that you say that and then you don't ever get number two. You
There's
just
so
move
many number
on.
ones. I spend all my time reading number ones. I don't have time for number twos.
Yeah.
There's over 30 number ones every month. I can just live on number ones. I don't have time for number two.
I want some new stories. I don't
Constant.
want to continue any story.
Everything's a one shot for me. That's probably why my comic, The Licker, is a one shot.
Yeah. Did you hire that artist?
Oh yeah, Licker progress. I have found an artist, and we are currently in
In negotiation?
negotiations. Well, we pretty much negotiate. I just need to finish the script and
Ah.
finalize it, nail it down, and.
Are you like trickling money? Like, here's for a page, here's for a page, here's for a page. How are
No,
you doing it?
I think we'll do half up front and then half at the end.
That's dangerous. Unless you know this guy.
He is local, so
Oh, so you could hunt him down.
yeah, worst case I could go to his house and bang on his door
You could hire Dog, the bounty hunter.
to go after him. No, the dude seems like a straight up dude. He's done some indie just stuff like self-published type stuff before, so
Yeah.
I like his style though. He's affordable.
Well, there you go. You're making progress.
So progress is being made. Yes.
And you're doing a web comic.
And the web oh yeah, the web comic is live.
Yeah, like Blake Lively.
Live is Blake Lively. And you can find it at Alfie and Mr. Bubbles.com.
There you
That's
go.
Alfie and
And
Mr.
just describe
Bubbles.
what your role in this is versus your son's role.
So I do this comic with my 9-year-old son, and our process is we brainstorm story ideas together, and then we actually we write the outline the script together. So, or not the, yeah, I guess the script. What was the process? So first we just brainstorm. So we have a whole list of possible storylines that we can work on, and then we sit down and pick a individual storyline that we want to work on, and we kind of go through it and talk about what the possibilities are, and then rough it out. So we do the four panels and kind of I do like a quick little sketch, and then together we figure out what the dialogue is going to be and what the jokes are going to be. And then I do the penciling, and the, I do the penciling traditionally just on paper, and then I scan that and do the inking digitally, and then he does the coloring. Well, I do the lettering, and he does the coloring. And he actually, he did, colored two of them this morning. He was excited because he's been slacking. That's the problem with working with nine-year-olds is they're slackers. They don't have the good work ethic. But so far, we have four that are up right now. And then next week, we have, we're doing one a day. So we have five for Thanksgiving week. And then we'll go back to our two-a-week schedule. But we have a bunch of that are done at various stages. So we got it planned out at least for into 2017. So far, so good. And it's fun. I've been having fun making them with him. He comes up with when we're doing the writing, we do a lot of back and forth where we keep throwing ideas back and forth with each other until we hit on the good one. So usually I come up with like the final version of it, but it's definitely made with his input and his the back and forth with him helps me come up with ideas. So it works well. Hello?
You there?
Yes, I am here.
Oh, that I can was hear weird. You. That was very weird.
I couldn't hear you. You were gone.
I could hear you, but then I could. You weren't talking. I guess I accidentally went mute. I don't know, but I didn't hit nothing.
Strange.
Yeah.
So what yes.
What were we going to talk about?
We were going to talk about a comic book.
Yeah. Which one do you want? Oh, I asked you before you couldn't talk to me anymore. Which ones did you not read? Did you not read Motor Girl? And
I didn't read Motor Girl. I didn't read. I don't remember what your what was on your list. I didn't. There's a couple I didn't read because I didn't have them yet.
Motor Girl.
I didn't read Homies because I never got Homies.
What? Why wouldn't you get Homies?
That's not. I never got Homies, so.
Come on, Essa.
I have no allegiance to the brand.
What the hell, Vato?
Was that a mistake? Is it fantastic?
Yeah, I'll read you some lines from it.
Yes, I was promised a live read.
Yeah, I will read you some lines. So what this, let's talk about that real quick. So what Homies is, it's like, I don't know, it feels like home. But it's a property that's been around for a while. Like when we were kids, you used to be able to buy little Homies figures like in gumball machines and stuff. And now I think this is like the first time it's ever in comic form that I know of. And I bought it out of curiosity. And like Betty Boop, I also bought that one too, out of curiosity. But I haven't read that one yet.
Yeah, I got Betty Boop. I haven't read it yet either. I got Betty Boop just because I wanted the chicken cover.
I don't know if I bought the chicken or not. But it's Roger Langridge or whatever his name is, and I like kind of like his stuff.
Yeah, so do I.
So, but this is by David Gonzalez and Elliot Durano. And let's see who – I wonder if it has the – if they're the original creators of the –
Toys.
Elliot Serrano.
Was there anything beyond the gumball machine toys? Like, did they ever have like a?
I don't know if they had any other properties. I know they had the toys, but this was fun. This was really fun. Like it opens up like, "What's up, Esse? Haven't you seen around the barrio in a while? Welcome to the neighborhood. Everybody in the hood is doing good. The homies are still cruising. The hyenas are still looking firm. It's still just like the old days when everyone in town know each other like one big familia. I can't believe how long it's been, Holmes." You know, it's like, it's got the language. I love it. Yeah. I love it. Oh, God. And it's got like a humor side to it, too, because what this is, it's a wedding issue. It's like a guy named Hollywood is getting married to his chica. And things just turn to a disaster. Like the ring bearer goes to pawn the rings, and the caterer, the migra, comes and takes all of the people that are catering. So they get deported back. So they don't have the people to serve the food. You know, like all kinds of things are just turning into a disaster. And then his bachelor party, like, I guess he did some things he shouldn't have done. And he said, as long as we took no photos. Well, the photo shows up at the end. I really dug this thing. And the art, I'll have to get you some pictures of it. But it's very stylistic art. But it
is it like the like a graffiti type style?
Kind of, yeah. Like cartoony graffiti style.
Yeah. I probably should have got this. I think I didn't get it because I thought it was more of a property, more of a well-established property that I wasn't familiar with.
I think you would have liked the story. I don't know if you'd appreciate it as much as I do. But where I grew up, people talk like this. So it feels great. I mean,
I think I would like it. It sounds good.
I already have number two. I'm so glad I got it because I was on the fence. You know, like, is it something that I would like? But I read it out loud yesterday, and I had a blast. I had so much fucking fun. Yeah, I recommend it. Homies number one from Dynamite. And the artist is Andrew Herrera.
I heard of that guy.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. I'm gonna look it up.
I don't know. His art style is spelled Hurta.
Yeah.
Elliot Serrano, David Gonzalez. Yeah, it's a man. I dug it. It's not for everyone, for sure, you know, but I was very pleasantly surprised. Dynamite has, like, reduced their output, but everything they're doing, I'm sort of digging. Another one that I read recently, and I never looked at the property because it's RPG, and I'm not into role-playing games, is Pathfinder, but the only reason I bought it was it because it had links to John Carter, Red Sonja, and Tarzan. And I was like, oh, I love all those characters.
Yeah, that was a weird concept. I remember looking at this list.
Yeah, that one like worked on so many levels for me. I want to dig into number two soon. And the other one you didn't read is Motor Girl, but...
Yeah, I just haven't gotten that one yet. That's the new Terry Moore one, right?
This is the Terry Moore from Abstract Studios. It's very weird. It's post-apocalyptic, I think, but not like doom and gloom apocalyptic. But they're like a garbage dump in the middle of nowhere, it seems like. And it's an ape and a girl that worked there to build stuff. And somebody wants to buy the land from them and the business. And I haven't read a lot of Terry Moore stuff. I never read Strangers in Paradise. I think I read some of Echo. And
You read some of Rachel Rising, right?
Rachel Rising, was that the horror one?
Yeah, that was the...
I don't think I stuck with it, though. I didn't stick with either one.
Yeah.
So this might be the first one I stick with. One thing I will say is he's very character-driven from what I can tell.
Yeah, I would say so.
So, like, it's the plot comes secondary to the character, but the character's very interesting. Like, he writes really good characters. So I'm interested to see where it's going. I'm going to stick around for Motor Girl. I'm going to write it out and finally read my first Terry Moore from beginning to end, I think.
Cool.
Yeah.
I will get number one, and then I will get the collected omnibus when it is done.
Do you have the other ones?
I don't have the Echo I got in trades, but I have the omnibus of Strangers in Paradise and Rachel Rising.
Have you read them?
I've read a bunch of Strangers in Paradise, but not the whole run because it's so huge. Rachel Rising, I have not. I read the first trade. I did get the first trade of Rachel Rising when it came out, but I have not read the full run yet. Rachel Rising, I got this super limited edition hardcover limited edition version.
Oh, nice.
Directly from Terry Moore.
Oh, did you buy it at a con?
No, not online.
Was it a Kickstarter?
It was just on his website. He's big enough, he doesn't need Kickstarter. He can just put something on his site and
But sell he does it. He does say that like his books don't sell all that well. Like he's come out and flat out said.
Right. No, but I mean, if he puts out a limited, I don't remember how many issues of this or how many copies of this he was in the print run, but if he does a small print run, he's got the fan base that he could easily sell it.
Yeah.
Oh, 750, that's how many it was, so. And I think he put it up on his website and then, like, as pre-orders, and then he took the remainder, I think, to San Diego. Mm-hmm. The rest of San Diego, whatever he had left. But I think he sold most of them just online himself.
Cool.
It's nice. It's all black.
Is it, I don't know how many page counts. Is it in the thousands?
I think so. It's thick.
Yeah. Just out of curiosity, I do want to ask you, have you read any of the Young Animal DC titles?
I have. We could talk about it. I read two of them.
All right.
We could talk about those. I read two of them. I liked them.
Okay. Which ones did you?
I read Shade.
That one I really like. That's my favorite.
And I read whatever that dude, Cave Carlson or whatever his name is.
That's my second favorite.
And I started to read Doom Patrol, but I wasn't into it, so I decided to wait until I was in a better headspace.
I don't think you'll ever get there. No. It is a rough book. Like, it is, like, so confusing. I like the new female lead, but other than that, it's so abstract. And I, to tell you the truth, I prefer the non-Morrison Doom Patrol to the Morrison Doom Patrol. Just because it's so out there. Well, Shade is out there too, but they're all kind of out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like I did read the original Shade run. I think I have a full run of Shade. I haven't read the full run.
Are you talking about the Steve Ditko Shade, or are you talking about the Peter Milligan Shade?
The Milligan Shade.
Oh, okay. The Vertigo one.
Yeah, the Vertigo run. I used to read that religiously.
So this will feel pretty 80s. Good. Even if you read the Ditko one, the concepts and all that stuff are there. The characters, like on that other world of Meta or wherever it's called, they're trying to get the Meta vest back. So, yeah, I really dug this. I find that the whole storyline with the female very, very interesting.
The female, the human female, or the
the human female, the alien. The one that has been in a coma.
Yeah, and I even like the setup. Like, I like that there was like this female alien on this planet who, like, her goal was to get the vest, and she kind of had to like come up with a plan to sneak her way into the museum after hours or whatever, and to get it.
Yeah,
that's fun.
The art is great.
Yeah, that's it's a Marley Zarcone, however you say her last name.
Yeah, I like the writing too.
Did everybody say who wrote it?
Yeah, it's
Cecil Castellucci. You can pronounce it.
Castellucci. Yeah. She wrote something else for like that young girls line that I liked.
That's where I recognize her name from.
She wrote Minx. I like that. The Minx Sampler. She wrote what was the other one? James in Love. I think those are the only ones that I remember. But it was the Minx line that she wrote comics for. And I liked that line a lot. I thought it was unique and different. It didn't succeed, but everything I read from that, there was two lines that died on DC that I really enjoyed. The Crime Noir one.
Yeah.
I love that. I even like the format, which it was like little digest.
Yeah, little hardcovers. Books.
Yeah. And so was this Minx line. It was really good.
Yeah.
This was good.
It doesn't seem to be generally appreciated, but I really liked the Hellblazer one that they had. Under the crime line. There's a Hellblazer one.
That one it's not ringing a bell. I remember all the Andy Diggle ones. I thought I had them all, but I don't remember a Hellblazer one.
It wasn't called Hellblazer. It had like another name, but it was about. Oh, not yeah. It was about Constantine.
Area 51 or Area something or another was.
Yeah, that's an alien one, right?
Was the eight. Oh, I see. Area 10. Yeah. Area 10 was Christos Gage and Chris Somney. And I wish my database broke it up into, like, what this line was.
What was the line called?
Oh, Vertigo Crime.
That was Vertigo Crime.
It was Vertigo Crime. But because it's not... I want to go Google this real quick. Because these were awesome, and it really has something to do with what we're talking about, because we're going into Titan crime books.
There you go, Dark Entries. That's what it was called.
Oh, that was good. Vertigo Crime. Oh man, I want to find out what this. I want to buy all these if I don't have them. Damn it.
I have a lot. I think I have most of them, I think. Yeah, but I don't know if I have all of them either. You can get them for cheap nowadays, too.
Oh, Filthy Rich. That was one of my favorites. The Chill. That was great. Bronx Kill, Area 10. I don't think I have The Executioner. I may have Fogtown. The Rat Catcher. 99 Days. Road to Perdition. Cowboys.
I definitely don't have all of them.
The Sickness in the Family. I think I have that one. Which was the one that is the Hellblazer one, though?
That's the Dark Entries.
Oh, okay.
That's where he goes like into a haunted house.
God, do I have this? Now I'm pissed off. I don't think I have this one.
Oh, you didn't get that one?
I gotta go look for this shit. These books were great, though, and reading these Titan ones, I am just loving it. I like want more. I didn't realize this was a John Constantine one.
Yeah, it was weird because it's like Dark Entries, and then like in small letters, a John Constantine story.
I may have it. The for some reason early on when I inventory stuff in my database, I didn't never did the hardcovers and trades.
Okay.
So I don't know, I don't have a really good inventory of it,
Yeah, I don't
but
know. Wait, yeah, for sure.
I want to go look for it.
Yeah, I don't have them like together in my spreadsheet, so I'd have to look each one up individually. I
It
think.
was one of those lines that I like really enjoyed, and it died off. Like even this other one, the Minx line, those are good books. Like you had like Brian Wood in there doing all kinds of stuff. I think I've read like six Minx titles. DC, I'm gonna look up that DC Minx. Damn it.
And I have
Going
a
down
bunch
the
of
rabbit
those.
hole.
That was like more aimed towards like teen girls, right? Wasn't
Yo,
that their attempt
that
to...
was their thing, but it had the Plain Janes. That's what Cecil Castellucci did.
Oh, Plain
And
Janes,
it
yeah.
was Jim Rugg. Do you remember that one?
Yeah, I didn't remember.
That
Yeah.
was good. And then the New York Four, that was Brian Wood
That's
and
Brian
Ryan
Wood.
Kelly.
He did New York 5 after that.
Yeah. Except New York Five was in a comic book format, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
New
Yeah, that
York
was
Four.
that came
New
out
York Four
after.
was in the trade.
Yeah, that came out after Minx died.
Oh, I read Regifters. That was good. That was Mike Carey and Sony Liu.
Yeah.
I didn't get clubbing. I got
I have clubbing. Who did clubbing? Someone did clubbing.
Andy
Why?
Watson and Josh Howard.
Okay.
Good as Lily. Confessions of Blabbermouth. I didn't read that one. Kim 66. I didn't read. Burnout. I didn't read. Water Baby. I didn't read.
Water Baby,
Did
Sophie
you read?
Campbell.
Yeah, that's Sophie Campbell. What is that one that you like for from Oni that I couldn't get through? Is that Water Babies? What is
That's
that?
Wet Moon.
Wet Moon. I knew it had water or wet in it.
I think that's coming back. I know someone's reprinting it now.
Yeah, I wanna.
Yeah, you
I don't
couldn't
know
get
if
past it because
no,
it was the
it was
dirty
the
bathroom.
dirty bathroom was disgusting, and there was so much of it in the first volume. I think I own three volumes of Wet Moon, and I stopped reading number one. But I'm a grown ass man now, so
Take a dirty bathroom.
I should go read the dirty bath. Now that my pants are falling off, I might enjoy it more.
We've gotten to the right place. I forgot Water Baby was a Minx one.
Oh, and you had Jane's in Love. That was Plain Jane's too. That's the one that I talked about. That's why I knew about it. I read both of those. Those were good. That's what I knew her name from. Emilio Superstar and Token. So I only have like five of them.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of those.
But we should have them, Bill.
I think I need to get all of the
Yes.
Virgo Crime and all of the Minx titles.
I hope to God that this Titan Crime, the hardcore, whatever it's called, hard case crime line go makes it.
Yeah, well, that's the one where they're doing comics and books, right? They're releasing both.
Yeah.
So maybe the books will subsidize the
Well, here's the weird thing. I don't read books. But the covers on those books that I see in the solicit, I like want to buy the books.
Oh, the designs are
Oh
awesome.
my God, the covers are like to die for. They're like some of my favorite covers. I was even one of them was like Stephen King. Like it was a Stephen King crime novel.
Yeah, they're reprinting a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, they're like
But putting cool covers on them.
it makes me want to read a book.
The power of
The
a
power
good
of the
cover.
art, right? I mean, it's just amazing. There's something that looks like, I don't know, like men's adventure magazines or something of the past.
Yeah, it's very pulpy.
Men's adventure magazine with the pulp crime element to it. Oh my God, the artists that they get are so amazing. It is one of the lines where I want to buy all the covers. But I only get one. I only choose one.
That's good.
Well, let's talk about this. You read Trigger Man?
I read Triggerman and I read
Peepland. Okay, let's start off. Well, which one did you enjoy the most?
I liked Peepland the best.
That's interesting because I like Triggerman more.
Interesting.
Yeah. I like the elements of Peepland better, but I didn't like the execution as much. I like the story plots better. I got this cover. I don't know which cover this is. It's covered by Faye Dalton, where she's like walking down the street.
Yeah, that's what I got that one too.
Oh God, it's
she's walking past the nudie bar.
The nudie bars, yeah.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Oh my God, and the art is fantastic.
Yeah, so this is Enter.
Entree.
Yes. Okay.
That's our parenting element there.
Yes.
You say enter, and then you answer really harsh, like, yes.
I didn't answer harsh. I'm harsh. I'm too harsh. I need to lighten up.
Yes.
Yes, son.
I'm about to talk about a peep show.
Do you know I am talking about important things like nudie bars?
This is Hard Case Crime by Christina Faust and Gary Phillips on art, right? Gary Phillips is the co-writer. Artwork is by Andrea Calmarini with colors by Marco Lesko.
Yes. And on the first page, naked ladies.
Yeah, and you see ass and titties. And then you see this guy that's just like a business guy, and he's, you know, she's explaining to him like, hey, for a dollar you get this, for that you get this, and I all you see next is like his little arm moving back and forth. And I guess he sprays the window pretty bad.
Yeah, because she has to call for a cleanup.
Yeah,
clean up an aisle five.
That's right. And then you have like the Dirk Dickler character, which is, you know, like a real porn star. For some reason, he's like running for his life.
Oh, yeah, and this takes place in New York in the mid-80s, back when they had nudie bars in Times Square.
I've never been to a peep show. Yeah.
You know, I only went there like probably twice a week back in the '80s.
We had one that was like on a Sleta. I was always curious to see what they look like, but I just never had the balls to go in. But I love like the Tubes video called "She's a Beauty," and it basically has the sliding up window. I mean, it's based on that, but it's more like they do it in terms of a ride. And then you had the Madonna video. I can't remember which one that one was, but where the guy puts money in and the window slides up. But
I do not remember specifically.
Yeah. You don't remember the Tubes video?
No.
She's a beauty, one in a million girls.
I don't remember the video.
You weren't listening to the Tubes.
That probably was not allowed in my house. No, I'm just kidding.
You went to the peep show live. Why would you need to watch
it? I tried to watch it, but I was like, man, this is so unrealistic. So unrealistic. The windows are not that clean.
You can barely see through them.
Yeah, you get a squeegee and... In order to see
you have to put your lips next to them.
Oh, bring your Lysol.
Can of Lysol.
So in this one, yeah. So some dude comes into the peep show and like has the woman hides like what's it called? A video cassette in the booth and says like, hide this. Don't let anyone see it or whatever. And then I can't even remember what happens next. There's lots of running, chasing around. The dude gets chased, right?
Well, the guy gets chased, and he's being chased, and he gets pushed in front of a
Oh, yeah, the
subway,
subway, that's right.
and he gets killed, but he leaves that videotape with them. So she's like hiding the tape. She gets called in by the cops to be questioned, and they grill her, but she doesn't reveal the tape. She
Yeah,
gives
just
the tape
give
to
it.
one of the other people working in the peep show, and retrieves the tape, and then takes it over to her boyfriend's house, or her ex-boyfriend's house, who's another like punk rocker guy. The other thing is, it seems like she's married to a guy that's dying. Did you see that?
I don't remember that.
She goes home.
Oh, the old guy. Yeah, that's right.
I think it's her husband. I at first I said, oh, maybe this is her father. But the
yeah,
way
that's what I thought.
He's calling
her.
Oh,
she calls
kid.
Him Uncle Leo.
Oh, is it Uncle Leo?
Unless she's calling, maybe like that's her pet name for her husband.
It's weird though, because
yeah, I think so.
The thing that really threw me off, or maybe this is what. Okay, it's her uncle. I think what.
Well, it's either her uncle or it's someone she calls her uncle. Like maybe it was her mom's boyfriend or something.
It could be that, but there's that picture frame where maybe her uncle and aunt raised her. Maybe.
Yeah.
Oh, she says Merry Christmas, Mom, so maybe you're right. Maybe Uncle Leo was her boyfriend after her real father died or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
You get the gist of it, though. It's somebody that helped raise her, take care of her. Now she's taking care of him. And, there's even one scene in here where she goes into a movie theater where, you know, to meet her boyfriend, like he's, the credits are on and he's kicking everybody out of the theater. But, it looks like it's one of those theaters that shows like B films. Because if you look in the background, there's a picture of I Spit on Your Grave. I know that video cover like nobody's business because I rented it. And it's explicitly there. But she takes that tape, they watch it, and I guess he does like snuff films. Like he does like banging bus films or whatever, like reality where he gets girls to do certain things.
Right. Yeah, and, he gets a girl to take her top off.
And he's doing that stuff. And there's a murder in the background, and somebody was killed.
Yeah, he accidentally got recorded a murder.
And then they have an advertisement for this Query Novels, and it says it's like it kicked off the Cinemax original series. But I don't. Is there a Query TV show?
I know they're doing one. Maybe I don't. Maybe it hasn't launched yet. Or
I want to watch it now. I want to watch it because of these books.
Yeah, I like Max Allan Collins. So
yeah, we were just talking about his mystery. Remember?
Yeah, that's right.
And I think Max Allan Collins did Wild Dog.
I know. I was just gonna say that.
And he was in Cave Carson.
I know. Ties back to.
That's
I was just thinking
cool.
The exact same thing.
Yeah. It all ties together. You know, we were talking about Vertigo Crime and.
Yes, to go back to Cave Carlson. We could do Cave Carlson, or you want to do Sugar Man?
We could just talk about Cave Carlson because that's pretty cool too.
Yeah.
Now, this one, it just gets better though. Like, you didn't read number two yet, but oh my God. I love it. And then you get the Tom Scholey backups.
Oh, yeah, that had the Tom Scholey backup.
Oh.
Yeah, so this is about an older... Where the heck is my... I can't find my book. Oh, there it is. So it's about this dude, Cave Carlson, which... Is he like a real character?
Yeah.
Like an older character?
Showcase. I think he had a lot of adventures, but I'm not... You know, I'm a DC guy. I don't know much about this character at all. I've, like, read maybe 5 comic books in my whole life with this character.
Okay. And his deal was he like had adventures in the center of the earth or something like that, right?
Yeah. So he had a mole, and it was like adventures in the middle of center earth.
Like kind journey of. To the center of the earth.
Yeah, journey to the center of the earth. Yeah.
Yeah. So now it's him. He's older, and he's back on Earth.
And his wife was an alien. She was one of the people from the center of the Earth that he met.
Brought back.
And she's dead. So he only has his daughter that left.
Right, so he's trying to raise his daughter now. On his own. And then he keeps seeing weird stuff with his cybernetic eye.
And I don't know if that's a new thing or not. This is a Gerald Way written book, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with art by Michael Avon Oeming. Who has a very distinct style. And then, yeah, I really enjoyed this one. I liked it a lot. And I loved the little cameo appearances by, like, some characters.
Oh, yeah. Well, we talked about one of them, Wild Dog.
Yeah, the Wild Dog. That took me by surprise.
It's weird because it's like these characters have nothing to do with with each other. You know what I mean?
Well, Wild Dog certainly has nothing to do with Vertigo. So.
Yeah. It was cool to see him though. He is making a comeback because he's in the Arrow TV show now.
Yeah. I haven't seen him I haven't watched the
I'm behind too, but I know that I've already been spoiled that he shows up because
yeah, I knew that he was on there.
I saw a news clipping or something.
Yeah, so I definitely enjoyed that one as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then Trigger Man. This is a kind of a crime book in the 30s.
That's why I think I like this one even more than the other one, is just the time period shift.
The setting, yeah.
This cover, let's see. I have a cover here. It's not cover A for sure, but it's got him lying on the bed with like a sexy girl like on top of him. I don't know if you got that cover.
No, I don't have that one, but I see it. They have them in the back. They show them all.
Yeah, that's the one that I have.
Oh, I wish I'd gotten that one. It's a nice cover.
That's better than the one that you got. You probably got the cover A, I bet.
I got cover A. Is it random or do we get to choose?
You get to choose.
Why'd I choose A?
I don't know. That it's really tough because like when I buy my Zenoscope in my covers like this, I actually have to have my previews there because the order form on DCBS doesn't always show the cover.
Right.
It might just have like a little blurry image of something or just show the same cover, but you could pick your cover. And this is by this art I really like. Like I find this art sexy as shit. This is the original story by Walter Hill, adapted by Maz, and art by Jeff. That was easy to say.
Mats and Jeff. I know Mats. I've read stuff by him before. He's like a big European guy, like in the European comics scene.
Yeah.
This
guy must have like some tough balls though, because this chick comes out of the bedroom naked as hell, wanting to have sex, and he won't do it. He's very loyal to his girlfriend or whoever that is that was in the prison cell that he had a picture of.
Yeah. So this starts out, he like walks into a bar and he's looking for somebody.
In like a desert ghost town. Like,
yeah,
there's dirt everywhere.
It's cool because it was like during Prohibition, he's like, I'll take a whiskey. And he's like, this is a dry city. And then he throws like 20 bucks or whatever at him, which is like a lot of money back then.
A lot of money, yeah.
He's like, I'll take a bottle. And the bartender gets a bottle for him.
I like the way it played out too, you know, with the music playing and he's like telling us the history of the guy that he used to date a girl that knew this guy that played at the bar. And just the drawing, like the drawings of the gas pumps and the clothing and the way the bar looked. I really dug. And then he like, there's that gunfight, and he pulls out that Tommy gun. I just think it looks fantastic because the guy draws the gun, and he's like, because he's actually hunting somebody. He's doing a bet. This guy that owns this bar owes money, and he's there to get the money or take his life. He ends up taking his life. And there's a sexy damsel there that just wants to get to Hollywood.
Yeah, she's trying to get to L.A. to be a star.
And there are some sexy panels in here. And then there's a weird hook on this. At least I think so. So this guy, this main character that shot this guy, was in prison before that.
Yeah, they jumped to the past, right?
Where yeah.
He was in prison.
And somehow he was asked to... They had to set up an escape for him.
Right, they faked his death to bust him out.
By killing another prisoner. I dug this, man.
And it looked like the security guards were paid by someone to get this guy out of jail.
Yeah.
But we don't know who or why yet.
I don't think this is going to be a successful line, but I'm on board, that's for sure.
Now, I know that it looks like, I think the Peepland is like an original book. The Triggerman, I believe, it was a European release first that they're bringing over now. You can kind of tell in the format of the pages.
Yeah.
They shrunk them down. But yeah, they're both good. I liked them both. The new, and I think I'm all in at least on the number ones for that, for the...
They only have two
crime books.
Oh, you mean you're going to continue with them, or?
No, haven't they solicited more number ones or not?
I don't think so.
No. Well, yeah, I'm all in on both of these number ones.
Yeah, because
are you sure right? There wasn't? I don't have previews with me, so I can't.
I'll go get it.
I can't look it up.
I'm pretty sure there are only two. I wish there were more.
I thought there were more. I know there's a lot of books anyway. I thought there were more comics too.
I gotta order another Harbinger Renegade so I could get my coupon.
How many copies did you have so far?
Well, I have enough now, but I forgot to pre-order. You know, I get the bundle.
Yeah.
I forgot to pre-order an extra copy.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, there is one called Reassignment. And this month.
Hey, there we go, Reassignment.
Shit, did I order that? I definitely got cover A on that one, that's for sure.
I think that's another, might be another Matt's Jeff one, isn't it?
This one's Walter Hill. Yeah, it's Walter Hill by Matt. So
yeah,
Walter Hill's the original.
I wonder if that's the book that is, I wonder if it's like based on a book by Walter Hill.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is. There's that hook job, but that I ordered that, but that's that shark thing. That's on number two. But then, yeah, that's the only one. I ordered this call, too.
What?
There's a book, a brand new series for fans of Elric, and I've never read Elric, but I bought it anyway. It says Cosmic Game of Thrones meets Conan the Barbarian. So I got that. And then, did you notice there's a new Monica from Gillian March?
Yeah, number two, volume two.
Yeah.
The second.
Yeah,
volume
yeah.
Volume two of two.
Yeah.
Yes. I have the first. I got the first one. I haven't read it yet, but I looked through it when I got it because it's,
oh, it's
goddamn
beautiful.
Gorgeous.
Oh my god. We should read that one for an upcoming episode.
Yeah, that'd be good. Love his stuff. I love it.
They don't have the books in this one. That's weird. Oh no, they're there. There's just no Crime Noir ones. That sucks. I should have ordered them if I knew they were just gonna be not a whole bunch of them. I should have just got them. Barb would have read the books.
And you could look at the covers.
Crime Noir. Is that a genre you want to read, Barb? I think it's pretty cool. I better go back into log into my DCBS, make sure I ordered it. I ordered the Monica for sure.
Yes, that is on my order. I didn't even know there was. I was surprised by it because I didn't know it was. They're doing it in two volumes. So.
Yeah, I thought it was just a one and done.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I was like, oh, another one.
Do you follow him on Twitter?
I don't know if I follow him on Twitter.
Recommend it, especially if you like his sexy stuff. He posts it all the time.
Oh yeah. Because he's doing the sketch cards for his Kickstarter.
Is there a Kickstarter? What is he doing? I haven't heard about this.
There was one, like about 6 months ago.
What was it?
It was for, I thought I tweeted it. It was for a digital comic that he did. He wanted to bring out a printed version, but like to ship it to America would be too ridiculously expensive. So he decided to just do it digitally for now. And then I'm sure he'll look for a publisher.
I hate
digital. For it at some point.
I mean, the only time I like it is when I'm on travel. That's the only time.
Yeah, I can't. I get digital stuff, but then I never read it.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to, like, when I want to go read, I don't want to sit there on the computer or whatever and read. I want to go, and I don't want to read on a little device.
Yeah.
I want to go sit on the sofa, grab a nice book and flip through the pages.
I'm gonna put Minx and Vertigo Crime in this show notes.
Yeah, so Gilliam March has been doing those sketch cards, sketches. Which I did support the Kickstarter, so I think I'm getting one of them.
Well, I'm jealous.
I'm not gonna tell you what I actually got as a reward for the Kickstarter because you'll be jealous.
Oh, because it's for my birthday.
No, it's for me.
What the fuck?
No, because you'll hate me for it.
Oh, no, just tell me. I'm not going to... There's nothing I can do about it. I didn't know it was Kickstarter.
I know, I'm just kidding.
What'd you get?
I got a page.
Ah, of what? Of this book? This digital?
Yeah, from the digital book.
How much did you do this Kickstarter for?
I don't remember. I don't want to look at that.
But it obviously was 100, right?
Yeah, it was more than
100. At least, yeah. Oh man, I am gonna be jealous. But
I figure
you have to send me that. I hope it's something sexy. I hope you didn't do anything non-sexy. I'll be so disappointed.
I don't even remember. I haven't even looked to see what the page was. What was the page that I picked? Let me see if I have it somewhere.
Please tell me it's got nudity.
I don't know if it has nudity.
Damn it! Well, then I'm not jealous.
No, you're not jealous.
I'm not jealous.
That's not that page.
I miss his art in on DC covers now. I really do. When he was doing like Gotham City Sirens and stuff like that, like Catwoman, oh my god, I love those covers. I could stare at them.
I don't remember which page I selected.
Well, can you send me in the Facebook link the Kickstart? Do you know what the title of it is?
I think it's Laura.
All right, let me just look at it. This is good listening entertainment right here.
Yeah, it's from January. So it was a while ago.
You still haven't gotten anything from it, though.
No, I have not gotten anything from it yet.
I'm still waiting on one from Dan Breton. Breton. It was like a Nocturnals follow-up or something.
Oh yeah, he just finished it. So
I am kind of done with Kickstarter. Did you read Die Kitty Die?
I did read Die Kitty Die.
Well, let's talk about that. That was a Kickstarter. Did you buy it? Did you go into the Kickstarter?
I did not go into the Kickstarter.
So we both ordered it from Chapter House.
Yes.
So see that was
that's
a Kickstarter too, and I guess what my philosophy is if that book is gonna be successful and get sold through previews, and I could get it through previews at a 30% discount, and I don't have to worry about shipping because it comes with my box anyway, I like save so much money.
Yeah.
So and I'm still supporting their book because they want to be successful.
Right, you're still buying it.
What on pre-orders, right? I mean, so my philosophy on Kickstarters has totally changed. The only one I regret not getting is the Jim Shooter DVD. That's the one I wanted.
Oh, I got that. I got that. I just got that in the mail yesterday.
Did you really?
Yeah.
You should burn me a copy. No, over. I want to watch that.
Here, one. Can I do it like a? I can take a pic. Can I take a picture with Skype?
I don't know. Probably disconnect us, but.
I want to show you the.
This Kickstarter.
The print I selected.
Where's the search on? Oh, I don't like their new webpage. They really fucked it up with the colors.
But do you want to guess the print I selected?
For my Laura reward? With two R's or one?
One.
Laura. I don't see it. March. Gillian. March.
I do Laura. Kickstarter Laura March.
I'm still not finding it. L-O-R-A?
What?
How do you spell Laura?
L-A-U-R-A.
L-A-U-R-A. I would have supported this one if I knew it was him.
I thought I had... I think I tweeted that I should have sent you an individual message.
Oh my god. You could choose from these drawings on the cards?
I don't know if you could. I think they're random, the cards.
Oh, I would have so supported.
Maybe you could choose.
Oh my god.
I don't know what that reward was.
I want to see him doing a hard case crime book. That's what I want to see. Let's see. Well, these are all in euros, right?
Yeah, euros.
I don't know how to convert that.
It's pretty equivalent to dollars, I think, now.
Page of original art. Wow. I see that now. She spent quite a bit, but it's probably going to be something that you're going to cherish.
Yeah, well, it's a page and then two postcards. So two original sketches.
Did you get to pick the postcard?
No.
Are they just random from this?
Yeah, I think they're just random. I think that's what he's been doing. He's been posting them to Twitter or whatever.
I know as he does. I want this girl that's like backward, like facing back, and you see ass. I like that. Holy crap. Oh, well, I missed out on that one. Let's talk about another Kickstarter that we didn't kickstart support, but we read. Die Kitty Die.
Yeah.
This one
but-
is very.
I'm with you on the when it's like a single issue and it's like $10 or whatever.
Well, it's like 10 to 15 bucks,
Yeah,
and
I can't
then
justify it. It's like I'll pre-order it, which is basically what I'm doing through Kickstarter anyway, so.
yeah, I'm glad I didn't. I mean, sometimes you could get a nice hardcover, but it's a hardcover of one issue, or, you know, I just don't. I understand. I want other people to support it so I could buy it in previews.
Yeah, and there's some that I'll support if they need the support, but if they make their goal, then it's like, okay. Yeah, I'll just pre-order.
Yeah. I do the Palmiotti and Gray, though, because a lot of their stuff never makes it to previews for some
Right,
reason.
they just self yeah, they just
Or,
release
you know, from the
those.
paper film, sometimes it'll come out like 5 years later. So I buy those. And I buy them, too, because you could get like an Amanda Connor exclusive if you're early enough. You have to be like within the first day. There's only a couple of them available.
Of what? Oh, they made the cover or what?
Yeah, the cover. Yeah, it comes with a cover and a really nice print. Like they're on this thick cardboard.
Yeah, you supported a bunch of theirs, haven't you?
I have.
Yeah, but that's good. I mean, there's some stuff that I support that because I like the creators or whatever, or that what I'm getting back, I think, is worth the money that they're. That I'm paying for it.
You know
so.
Which one I was really happy about? Was that Golden Age one that I talked about on this show.
Oh, yeah.
I was so happy with it, and it reminds me so much of the Black Hammer, just in a different vein. Do you know what I mean? It was a bunch of Golden Age heroes in a retirement home solving a mystery.
Right.
Well, Black Hammer's not a mystery, but it's kind of a mystery because you don't know why they're stuck in this like limbo where they can't escape.
They're stuck on the farm, yeah.
Yeah. Well, did we finish talking about what we were talking about? Oh no, about Die Kitty Die.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about Die Kitty Die.
So this is Dan Parent with, I can't remember the other guy.
Fernando Ruiz.
Dan Parent I know from Archie.
Yeah, he's done a bunch of Archie.
And I guess Ruiz is from Archie, too. But I know Dan Parent because I have bought some of his commissions before.
Okay.
So I've done some of his commissions, just like Andrew Peepoy. Andrew Peepoy's got a very different style, whereas Dan Parent is almost like traditional Archie, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, very much so. He's very much a traditional Archie artist. And I think that, yeah, inks are Rich Kozlowski, who also, he does a bunch of, I think he does a lot of inking for Archie. So they do have a lot of the Archie talent that they just decided to bring out their own comic, I guess.
Yeah, it's very Archie themes, but in a more adult style,
more sexualized
manner. I really liked it. Plus, it's like it's kind of like looking in on itself because it's about a character that is a real life character that they make comics about.
Right. She was the star of a comic book and was a big icon, but it was all based on her. And she's a witch in real life, right? Is that the case?
Yeah.
Yeah. So she's a witch in real life, and they made a comic book about her, and she was a huge star. But now the sales are down.
Which is almost like a parody on Archie itself, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they used to be super popular, and now it's...
Well, now it's like popular, but it's in a different way. Like, Archie has problems, you gotta admit. They're shipping things, like, very sporadically. There's something going on there financially. They are owned by a family. And they did try to kickstart supporting their business, but they had to go back on it because the industry frowned upon it.
Yeah, that was interesting. They were asking for a lot, I think, too.
Oh, it was ridiculous. I wouldn't support it. I mean, I love Archie, but I am really upset with their shipping. Like, the Dark Circle stuff, I really like when you really like something and then it ships like every 4 months or 5 months. If it wasn't me and I wasn't patient and I didn't have as much budget to spend on comics, I would definitely lose interest in their book. Like, I would go with a new number one because their stuff is just not on time. But Die Kitty Die, I liked a lot because it's the publisher dealing with her books not selling and deciding to make her book popular again by actually killing the character.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the whole thing that this book is about. I really liked it.
And then they got parodies of Richie Rich, Casper, and Little Hot.
Yeah, Hot Stuff.
Hot Stuff. What did I say, Little Hot?
Little Hot. I don't know who that is.
What did I combine? Little Dot.
Little Dot. Yeah.
Combine Little Dot and Hot Stuff.
You are a fan of Little Dot, aren't you? Didn't you buy a collection of that, or was that somebody else I'm thinking of?
Little Dot has not had a collection, but I am a fan of the old Harvey comics.
What did you buy that was similar to Little Dot? You bought some collection.
I don't know. I have a bunch of I have all the Little Lulus.
That's what I'm thinking of. Thank you.
I have the Nancys. And I do have, I mean, Dark Horse did bring out like kind of like little omnibuses of some of the titles. I think they had one that included Little Dot with a couple other characters.
Mm-hmm.
But they only brought out like 4 volumes and then stopped. I don't know what happened with that. I don't know if they didn't sell or what.
Yeah.
Someone needs to reprint all that old Harvey stuff. Damn it.
I just wish.
But for now, we have parodies.
Time, you know, to read this stuff. I bought. I've been really into Dynamite's Mrs. Fury. Like, I even got a commission of her from Peepboy.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a Golden Age character. And you know what I just bought was the IDW released hardcovers from the news strips from the 40s. Oh my God, they're brilliant. I mean, just to thumb through them, they are beautiful. IDW puts good product. Like,
that's from the 40s?
Yeah.
It's like newspaper or?
Yeah.
Or
no, it's. They were in newspapers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
I didn't even know she was. I knew she was Golden Age, but I didn't know she was in newsprint. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, neither. I missed that one.
There are 2 volumes. I'll have to send you some pictures of it just so you can be jealous.
And then, what else do we have?
Oh, we have Black Hammer. We should talk about that because we talked about that Golden Age Kickstarter, which this reminded me of.
Oh, yeah, Black Hammer. I loved it.
This book is like one of those number ones that you read and you like, everybody is so compelling. Like, I found every character like something I wanted to read about. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to know more about.
Yeah, he did a real good job. So this is written by Jeff Lemire with art by Dean Ormston.
Yeah.
And it's about an old superhero team who are now living out on a farm. And we don't know why they're living out on the farm, right?
Right. Abraham Slam is kind of the main guy. He's the one that's content with living there. Like, you know, we did our jobs. Somebody sacrificed. The Black Hammer made the sacrifice. Now we could live here. And everybody else is just like, we got to get the hell out of here.
Yeah, they're bored.
Colonel Weird, Talkie Walkie, which is the robot. Colonel Weird is like Adam Strange. I'm making like correlations to these characters. Talkie Walkie is like some Golden Age robot man, you know. Barb Allen Alien is like exactly like Martian Manhunter. They don't hide that at all. even with his alias. Golden Grail, I don't know who that could be, but that Golden Gale is the little girl, and it's like she's de-aged.
Yeah, she's going backwards in age.
And then you have a supernatural one called Madame Dragonfly, I believe.
Yeah, she's the dark sorcerer or whatever.
Don't get a lot of her in the first issue. I am so glad I have like a few of these issues stacked up, because I want to go
Find out more. Yeah.
this one and the crime ones are like stuff that I want more like now, like right now. I want to read it.
Yeah, and I liked your when you posted your description of it. It's like you said, like this isn't like a new concept, like an old retired team that's no longer active, but it's handled really well, and it's really interesting the way he gets into the character studies, I guess, of each of the characters. And I also like the art, and I thought it was interesting. I noticed that there's a lot of where he does like the 9-panel grid. It's not like every page is that way, but there's a lot of the 9-panel grid in here. It's nice. The art is.
You have Dave Stewart on colors. I really like the small town setup too, because this one guy, he really, I think he's in love with this waitress at the diner,
Yeah, the
and but
main guy.
he can't really tell her the truth of what's going on with his family, because it's not really a family. It's a bunch of heroes that are hanging out at the farm, hiding themselves. And then you have the daughter of the Black Hammer doing research in the current world to find out where they were.
Yeah, she's trying to find where they ended up.
It is really good. I this was the one that I didn't think I was going to get to read in time, and I'm glad I did.
Snuck it in.
I snuck it in this morning, because
And
we
I
had.
love the robot has one of my favorite character design elements, which is like the dome over his head.
Yeah.
I love characters with domes over their head.
Let me find his design again. Do you like Sunlight on Snow? The ro well, he doesn't have a dome, but he does look very similar. He's the Valiant character in the Imperium.
I haven't seen him.
I like the design of all these characters, because the one thing I really like is they're all distinctively different. There's no one, you can't confuse any one of them. They all have distinct character designs. And the little girl is an adult, so she's like stealing cigarettes
Yeah,
and
she's smoking.
we had some really good books this week.
Hey, we haven't even finished it. We still got the we had to go through it quickly.
Which one?
We still have like
Thin?
Finn. We have the Aftershock ones.
Yeah.
Tales from the Dark Side.
Which one do you want to do next?
We can do Thin. So
This one I.
Thin is American Gothic Press book.
This is written and illustrated by John Clark. I like the style for
Yeah,
sure.
the artwork is very I don't know how you describe it.
A
It's
realistic look, but very dark.
Yeah, and it's black, white, and red, and it's kind of like an ink wash, but it's very distinctive, like the brush strokes or whatever.
Yeah, and it's a horror element to this book.
Yeah, it's a horror. So it's about this woman who wants to lose weight, and she's willing to go to any lengths to lose weight, and she finds out about this an old friend. She finds out about this new weight loss technique.
very, very shady weight loss technique.
Yeah, so she goes to this place at this, like, broken down house. And she has to go into the basement, and there's this weird doctor guy who is going to do some kind of operation in his basement.
But he's interesting, too, because he tries to talk her out of it.
Yeah, he's like...
He's like, you don't want effects, this.
Yeah.
Yeah. He says, do you even know what the effects are? Do you know what it costs? Do you you want to do this? And she says, yeah, I saw the results, because she saw her friend. And her friend was like lifting her dress, showing her ass, and she looked pretty hot. And she's like, holy crap. And she's already emotionally distraught because she walks in on her husband fucking somebody. And he keeps on saying stuff to her like, oh, you're so thin and all this stuff as he's fucking her.
I forgot about that part.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's what drives her over the edge, because she had just got home from, like, she would hide from her husband, like,
she would eat in the car.
Yeah, she's doing like Keith Knudsen
at the gas station.
Yeah, eating at the gas station and then throwing it in the dumpster. You know, the bags and stuff, the wrappers.
Yeah, throwing the fish fillet wrappers away.
Mm-hmm.
So then she says, "Yeah, I'm doing this operation. I'm this is the last straw. I've tried everything and I can't lose weight, so." He's like, all right. And then he puts the gas on her and knocks her out. And then some time passes and she wakes up. And the horror begins.
Yeah. It reminded me sort of Misery for some reason.
Well, yeah, because she's strapped to the
table.
She
was strapped there and she could not get out.
Yeah. And that's where it ends, kind of like this. The evil, which I guess we won't spoil, the evil is about to get her, and she's strapped to this table.
Right, and the doctor.
Yeah, bad things happen.
Yeah, bad things happen. I liked it.
So really. Did I. It was enjoyable, and I like the art. I thought the art really fit the story well.
Right, you know what it felt like to me? It didn't feel like this publisher for some reason, but it felt like an Amigo comic.
Yeah, it definitely would fit in the Amigo banner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure it felt like it could be an Amigo book.
Yeah,
that's probably why we liked it.
Tales from the Dark Side, number one.
Yes, Joe Hill. So this is written by Joe Hill but adapted by Michael Benedetto, with art by Joe Hill collaborist Gabriel Rodriguez.
And this was going to be a TV show.
Yeah, this is one where it was a TV show. Joe Hill created this TV show. Well, I guess it was it an old TV show that he was rebooting?
Yeah.
So, Tales from the Dark. Have you ever seen the original show?
I think I might have. It used to come out at midnight on like one of the stations.
And it was kind of like a Twilight Zone type of thing.
Yeah, Outer Limits, Twilight Zone, the same sort of thing.
Yeah. So apparently Joe Hill rebooted it for some network, but then they decided not to go through with it. So they've decided to instead bring it out in comic form.
Mm-hmm.
Him and Gabriel Rodriguez. So this first story is it's about a kid who was did he graduate from college or he's in college? I don't remember.
I think he graduated high school just barely.
It was a high school. Okay.
Yeah, he almost failed out because of his he slept through his English exam.
Oh yeah, yeah. He decided that partying was better than doing schoolwork.
And he seems like he's an upper class kid. Like he lives, his mom is rich.
Yeah, so he's just cruising through life, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's right. They were working on the project. He was working on the project with that girl in school.
Well, he had to. He had the English professor said you either could go to summer school, all summer school,
oh, that's right.
To pass,
or you could help.
Or you could help this student get accepted into European school by doing a Shakespeare's thing.
Right,
And he
she's
fa
doing a video, and so he says you either help her or you're gotta go to summer school, so he's gonna help, he helps her with her project. But due to, well, the story actually starts out, so he's working on this project with her, and he's partying all night long, and he's basically sleeping. He has a job as a lifeguard, and he basically sleeps all day at the side of the pool. And then a woman dies
It
in the
sucks she had
pool.
some kind of precondition, though.
Yeah, or she had a heart condition.
But he slept through. He could have probably saved her life, or he had a probability of saving her
Yeah,
life.
if he had noticed that she was going on, that she was having trouble, he could have at least got her out of the pool.
She was doing a lot of laps for whatever reason. Because they have one scene where her husband's like, "Maybe you should come out of the pool," you know? And she kept doing more laps.
Right, and then because his parents are rich, they get an expensive lawyer and get him off, so he doesn't have to worry about it.
He feels guilty about it. Like, he tries to tell the truth, but the lawyer's like, "Shut the fuck up," you know? So, what happens after that is he for some reason there's like a curse on him, and I don't know how that happens. They don't really explain that. But
Yeah, I was trying to remember when the
it's like he wakes up one morning and anybody that looks at him will fall asleep. Like pass out. So he's like trying to go to the police, he's trying to call in anybody he can call, and everybody just falls asleep and passes out.
Right. And he keeps trying to tell people, like, if you look at me, you're gonna fall asleep, and they're like, yeah, right. And they look at him and fall asleep.
Yeah.
Or basically while he's telling, before he could tell them, they fall asleep.
So he calls the girl that he fell in love with
He's doing a project with.
Yeah, and she actually busted him cheating, and then they kind of like separated, but she still feels sorry for him, I guess. So she comes and he's like, "You can't look at me." And sure enough, she looks at him and she passes out. So he realizes he has to put a mask over himself, and then the husband comes and kidnaps them.
Right, because he's pissed off that the kid got off scot-free.
Yeah.
It was good. It was a good I mean it fit well, like with the whole Twilight Zone thing, right? 'Cause he kills a woman, or he wasn't able to save the woman 'cause he was falling asleep, so now whenever he looks at people they fall asleep.
But it had like a weird black, I don't know how to even say it, but like a romantic thing. Like the boy and the girl died together and they kind of accepted it. You know what I mean? Like she was handcuffed as the car was gonna go over the side, and he
Yeah, and he
decided to stay with her.
stayed with her, yeah.
Yeah, it was a really good one. I like when we read books that are like thin, and they both felt like something that could be out of a Tales from the Crypt, or you know, any of those kind of things. Yeah, Outer Limits. Well, we have one that I didn't like. And I'm really curious to get your thoughts on this if
I
you
don't know if I
read it.
read it. Which one was it?
Britannia?
I did read Britannia.
Yeah.
Great art by Juan Jose Ripe. Rip.
It is great art, but I didn't care for the coloring of Jordi Belair, because the second issue even gets worse. If you're gonna read this book, read it in a well-lit area, because what they try to a lot of these scenes take place in dark, like evening, dark areas with
Evening or
mist,
the
with
forest or
fogs. Yeah, like fog, like there's a
yeah, the
mist.
fog.
And if you're trying to read this in a well, like you can't even see any details of the line work or something. The color just mutes it. Like you the time to read this is like outside with the sunlight, so you can see all the details and stuff.
And with the birds.
Yeah, with the birds out there chirping. Because, man, I understand the effect they're going for, but it is hard to read at night in a not well lit area. And I'm not too interested. I like, it's weird, Bill, because I like love Rome, mm-hmm. and I love Roman history. So I thought, oh, this Vestal Virgin thing, that's something I absolutely know nothing about.
Mm-hmm.
And then the whole plot of it, you know, them kind of hiring a centurion to kind of learn from their books and do their bidding. Oh, that sounds interesting, but for some reason, man, I could not latch onto any character in this book, like, and care about them, like who the hero is or what their motives are.
Mm-hmm.
It was all plot driven, and I didn't care about the plot.
You know, I have literally the exact same. I felt the exact same way. It's like it was well done. The art was good. But I just couldn't – I didn't give a shit about anything in the story.
It is weird too because it's Peter Milligan. And I usually like – we just talked about Shade the Changing Man. Like he did that. I'm usually really content with Peter Milligan. Even his Valiant work, like I really liked his Shadow Man and his Eternal Warrior. He kind of came in as a writer to kind of save the title and do a little mini on both of them.
Mm-hmm.
But – this one, I don't even feel, I just feel, I don't know. I think we
it's
described
weird,
it.
There's that monster and stuff.
It's Rome, you know, there's a good plot, there's monster, there's some
lots
characters.
There's lots of fog.
There's a lot of text in the back talking about, like, the historical references of what these, like, I knew nothing about these Vestal Virgins who protected the flame. Like, I had no freaking idea about them. All the other ones that I, you know, seemed familiar, especially, like, the one that was in charge.
Nero or whatever.
Yeah, Nero. So, and then I read number two, and I was like, okay, you know, Valiant summarizes. Valiant does like what Marvel does. They at the front of the comic book, they summarize what happened previously. So I said, you know what? I am going to read that and see if I miss something. And fuck no, I didn't miss anything. I described it exactly like it was, and I was like, man, I'm not enjoying any of these ties. Sure, nothing that Ripe does is bad, at least in my opinion. I like his art.
Yeah, I know. I do, too.
And I think the colors, like, you know, Jodi Belair is a popular award-winning colorist, and I like her colors. But, like I said, if you want to enjoy the effect,
yeah, but
you got to read this in light.
Yeah, the dark. Well, even in light, like, there's a lot of scenes where in the fog where it's just obscured, so.
Yeah, well, wait until you read issue two if you get there. Oh my God! I would say 75% of issue two takes place in that fog.
Oh, the fog.
Yeah, because he actually goes to the where the monsters are. You know how they sent him on that mission,
right?
And he's there with other centurions that are kind of like, it's like one of those stories. Like, have you ever watched that Ravenous? It was like a Civil War outpost or something, and somebody goes out there and realizes that the people in charge are kind of fucking off their rocker. That's what this reminded me of. Ravenous. That movie.
Okay.
Just in Roman times instead of where they had the Union soldiers and stuff. But I have issue three. I am going to read it and see if it grows on me. I'm going to read the summary again, too. I got kind of bored with the historical things in the back, too, surprisingly. Usually
yeah, I'm
into that. Like what we read
I still
that
have to read
back,
that.
Yeah, the back matter. We read the back matter and Black Magic and other stuff. That stuff I loved. This stuff it's sort of interesting, but it's flat. It's like a flat history. I like it in Black Magic more, where it's more from the person, from a personal aspect with references to historical. It has more heart, in my opinion.
Yeah, this is more dry, I think.
Yeah.
And then the last one that I want to talk about is from Aftershock. Jackpot, number one.
Mm-hmm.
By Ray Fox. Who seems to be hit or miss with me.
Well, for me, I've liked everything he's done except the Image book that I had no clue about what it was about. That was the one that he drew and wrote.
Yeah, that was... that was an interesting one.
That is the only that is the only piece that I've read of his, and I haven't read a lot of his stuff, but I read his DC stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I read some of his other stuff, and I've enjoyed it. Like, I like his style.
And this is good. This is more of a standard crime heist book.
Ocean's 13 or something
on
like
that. On the high seas, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good art.
So this, yeah. So this is, starts out there. There's this high stakes poker game on this yacht in the ocean, and you kind of meet the characters. Like the main guy is like the guy who owns the boat, and as they introduce the members of the team, they kind of like have like headings over them, so they tell like what their name is and then what their role is. One guy's like the poker face, and there's the cold reader. So while this game's going on, this team is also robbing the guy who owns the yacht's boat. He has, I think it's like a separate boat. Yeah, it's like a separate boat where she's going in and she's going to rob his safe, his like private boat or something.
I thought it was on the same boat. I thought the one guy that was communicating with the girl to break into the boat was on a separate boat.
He was on a separate boat. That's right. You're right. So this this older woman, the cold reader, is going down. She's going to rob the safe. Meanwhile, there's another guy, on like a tugboat, who's riding alongside the boat, who's giving her instructions, kind of leading the team. And then we don't know it, but there's a couple other people on the boat who are also on their team, but we don't know that they're on the team yet. And then after she robs the boat, the safe, she looks back and there's a bomb in the safe that wasn't there before that blows up. So basically their cover's blown and everything's up for grabs. So all hell breaks loose on the ship. But it was a good, I liked it a lot. I thought it was a really well-told little heist story.
I agree.
So I enjoyed it.
I also read another Aftershock. I don't know if you read this one. I think you may have. Second Sight.
Which one is that? I don't know if I read
that. That one was like a... this guy owned this bookstore, and he had the ability to – he had like a paranormal ability to see things.
I don't think I read that one.
He has a daughter that the mother put a restraining order on him and stuff to stay away from her and him. It was really good. I liked that one. Was that one Peter Milligan? Speaking of Second Sight – no, it was David Hine.
Okay,
David. And Alberto Ponticelli, who I really like his art.
Yeah, I have that one. I don't think I
read it. It was good. As far as which one I would choose over another, I don't know. I liked them both pretty much equally. They're very different stories.
Mm-hmm.
For a heist story, this jackpot was pretty good. It kind of reminded me a little bit of Renato and the 1%, the first issue. Even though it wasn't really a heist, it had that boat scene in the yacht. But this one is more like an Ocean's 11 or Ocean's 13 or whatever they call them, and it's a heist. Interesting story. Peter Milligan is writing something for them. I just don't remember what.
Oh, for Aftershock? I don't know.
No, it's not Animosity. No, it's not Captain Kidd.
Nope.
The Revolutionist, maybe?
That could be.
No, that's Frank Barbary.
Barbary.
Maybe he isn't. Maybe I'm just Shipwreck? No, that's Warren Ellis. Maybe I'm just thinking he did.
It might have been announced, but just not released yet.
Replica. Maybe it's that one. No, that's Paul Jenkins. I'm sorry. I get those two people confused. Paul Jenkins and Peter Milligan, I sometimes get confused.
Really?
That's... Yeah, I do. I like them both. Yep. Aftershock. So we brought Aftershock love. We brought a lot of diversity to our we talked a little bit about DC, and I just have one quick Marvel book to pimp, which is Fantastic Four 403, which I'm reading in the Epic Collection. I've never read this shit before, but I find it fascinating time period because Reed is dead, and Lijah is part of the team, which is the Skrull, and Thing's face is like marked up.
What? Who are the creators at that time?
DeFalco and Paul Ryan.
Okay, who's the art?
Paul Ryan.
Oh yeah, that's right.
I think he passed away recently, if I remember correctly.
I think he did. I always liked Paul Ryan because he did Squadron Supreme, I think, didn't he?
Yeah, well, he did. He's done a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And he's really clean style.
I know. I like Squadron Supreme.
Storm left the FF. This is crazy stuff. It has Namor. Dr. Doom is dead. And Kristoff, which is his son, is on the Fantastic Four, sort of. And Scott Lang is on the team too, which is very weird because I remember Scott Lang in the FF with Hickman, or not? Maybe it wasn't Hickman. It was Matt Fraction. It had Scott Lang, and I thought that was the first time he was in the Fantastic Four, but he was in this time period. Really cool story. I look forward to digging into this because I was looking in my database and I was like, man, I don't remember this. And sure enough, I missed about 25 issues in this time period.
Was it the 80s?
I think it was the 90s. Let me see. Fantastic Four, 403.
I should look up what the cover looks like.
Oh, it has like a bunch of Ben Grimm's on it. It's really cool. He finds like this – there's like this Aztec – Techian civilization that like worship the thing, and they found like this device that turns people into like things. It's weird. There's just so much that I don't know about this time period, which I found fascinating. The thing I found most fascinating is, do you remember Johnny Storm married a Skrull, and it was supposed to be Alicia Masters? Well, that Skrull and him was kind of like his ex-wife. Well, Johnny Storm leaves to go off onto the team with Fantastic Four, which is led by Franklin Richards. And he wants to look over his nephew because he's worried about him. And she's posing as another person that's dating Johnny Storm, and she can't tell him that it's herself. So she's like lying to him. It's weird. This is 1995, so it's in the 90s.
Midnight. Yeah, I never read any of these.
Yeah, I didn't either. I jumped back on at issue 500, which was Mark Waid. But I like missed 395 through 416, and then the numbers skipped around, went back to number one, because the Onslaught. Do you remember the Jim Lee one version? They had that that event, and then the numbering switched. And then it didn't come back until 500, so it went from 416 to 500. That's all I wanted to mention because it's really interesting.
So how come you're getting the Epic collections versus the issues?
Well, I'm getting the issues too.
Okay.
I'm weird, but I decided I wanted to have every Epic comic, every Epic trade
collection.
Yeah. I love the way they package these. They're packaged out of order, but they have a chronological number and they're focused on the creative team. Do you know what I mean? So like if a creative team spent time like 50 issues in, they're focused on that creative team. I love the concept of the Epic line. I absolutely love it. Even though like I feel like I'm entering this is the first issue in volume 25 of FF. I find it fascinating just to jump right in and, oh, wow, Reed's dead? And Dr. Doom is dead. And Christoph is there. And Christoph's bodyguard or whatever is, he's like some other creature that can morph itself, and I have no idea who it is. So there's like a lot of things in there that make me just want to read the next issue. Especially because I haven't read it before. And I already finished one Epic line from DeFalco on Thor. I have found out that I am a total Falco and Franz fan. Like, I love their stuff.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's a good way to focus in on a creator.
Oh, yeah, DeFalco.
So you can,
you know who he reminds me of is Mark Grenwald. Because his stories, like, I feel satisfied reading one issue, but he has, like, several plot threads in there. Larry Hama does this with G.I. Joe, too. Like, I love it because it's a story technique that has a beginning and an end, but it's got, like, several threads in there that could finish, like, many issues down the road. Like, each thread is doing something different. So even though you feel like you got a full issue, there's so many going on that make you want to read the next issue. It's like a serial, what comics are meant to be in monthly format.
Come in.
Enter. Welcome.
What do you need?
To Fright Night. I plug in my ear set. You there?
Yep.
Okay. I got like a, when my wireless runs out, it starts beeping at me, so I have to plug it in.
Got a hard wire.
I have to be plugged in. Now I'm plugged into the computer and I can't. When I record, I walk around a lot. I don't know if you can tell.
I cannot tell. I used to do that.
Yeah, I just,
now I just sit here. Yeah, I used to do that when I first started podcasting. I would stand up.
One thing I wanted to mention to you too is I read 2, 3, and 4 of Death Force. Do you remember we covered that book? The Zenoscope?
Oh, the Zenoscope. Yeah.
We really liked the first issue.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it as much. I think they like blew their load in the first issue, but I guess I can't judge it yet because I still have to read 5 and 6. See how it turns out.
What are you, 4 issues in?
Yeah, it's a 6-issue mini, and I've read 4 issues of it so far.
That's too bad. I had high hopes for that one. started out so strong.
Well, it started off really strong, and then it had that weird mystical villain, you know, at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And I still don't know a lot about that character, but I don't know.
See if they could pull it around at the end.
Yeah.
Well, the four she's in, you'd hope to.
All right. Do you want to talk any TV and movies?
Sure.
All right. what have you watch? I watched Doctor Strange. That's the only one that I remember. Did we watch any other movies, Barb?
I have still not seen that. I am horrible.
At the theater? Didn't we go to something before Doctor Strange? She can't remember either. So it must have not been very good.
The only thing I saw at the theater is Trolls.
Ah. Who'd you go with to that?
My wife. No. My son.
Yeah.
My son and I go to... He wants to go to pretty much every kid's movie that comes out, so...
Did he like it, Trolls?
He did.
And your daughter has no interest in Trolls?
No, she's not. She doesn't like movies.
Oh, yeah, we saw The Accountant. Now, that was really good.
Which one was that?
The Accountant with the Ben Affleck.
Okay.
And the guy who's playing Commissioner Gordon. So you got Bruce Wayne and Commissioner Gordon in it.
Nice.
That one's interesting because it's about an assassin that has a... What does he have, Barb? Like the Rain Man, Asperger's. But a severe form of it. That's what makes the movie really interesting.
Interesting.
He's kind of like the Rain Man, Dustin Hoffman, except he's a little more socially adept, but not much. But that is my favorite movie of the year. The Accountant is above and beyond anything I've seen. Second movie I liked was the best was Tarzan so far.
I did see Tarzan on DVD.
Oh, yeah? Did you like that one?
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, I dug it.
I remember you mentioned this when you first reviewed it about how they gave his back history, but they did it as the story was going forward, so it didn't start like retelling the whole story.
Right, it wasn't an origin at all.
Yeah,
they
filled you in when you needed to be filled in,
mm-hmm.
of events in the past, but it was all in the present. And I loved the overall concept of him going back to Africa after years being away.
And I love that guy, the villain that's in Inglourious Basterds. You know, he played a Nazi in Inglourious Basterds.
Yeah,
I thought he was an amazing villain. And. And it had Margot Robbie in there too,
mm-hmm.
as Jane.
And it had lots of ape fighting.
Yeah,
it's fantastic.
Yeah, I love that movie. I am so much. I have like this. I mean, over the last decade, I've grown such an appreciation towards pulp, like just pulp characters.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love it. Anything by Edgar Allan Burroughs or any of this stuff, I just find fascinating.
Yep, you've turned into a 70-year-old man.
Yeah, well, now that I have old man.
For the old days.
Well, I think one of the criteria is for pulp is you get old man ass.
Yeah, once you got that old man ass, you...
And your pants start sliding off. You're like, hey, maybe I ought to look at these characters that were in the 40s.
Oh, I saw another movie, too. I saw Swiss Army Man.
I don't even know what that is.
That's the one with, what's that dude's name? Paul Dano and Daniel Radcliffe. Where So it starts, they're on a, so Paul Dano is, you don't know where he is, but he's like stranded like on this desert island or something. And this body washes up on shore and he tries to revive him and is unable to revive him. But then the dead body starts farting and it starts farting like a lot. And then one of the openings, he pushes him back into the water and he's like face down and the gas is being released and the body's like moving, like being propelled by the farting. So he gets on the body and he starts riding it. And he's going really fast. He's like riding it like a jet ski. And it just proceeds from there. So it's called Swiss Army Man because this dead body is able to do all these weird things.
This is weird, man.
It's really
a homeless man stranded on a desert island befriends a dead body and together they go on a surreal journey.
Yeah.
What the hell?
It's almost a love story between the two. It's really bizarre.
It's adventure, quite bizarre. Comedy, drama. That's weird. Paul Dano.
I love Paul Dano. He was in the Beach Boys movie.
Well, he's in that Little Miss Sunshine. I did watch that, but I don't know what he's... I didn't watch Ruby Sparks, Prisoners, Looper. I don't even think I watched. I don't know him from much things.
Well, you'll like if you watch the...
Oh, he was in The Sopranos. He doesn't look familiar, though.
I don't think he had a big role. I don't even remember him in that.
And I watched a lot of Sopranos. None of these movies sound familiar except for Little Miss Sunshine. And I don't remember him in there.
You need to watch the Brian Wilson movie.
What is the title of that?
I don't remember what it's called.
Is it Ruby Sparks, 12-year-old slave, youth, Love and Mercy?
Yeah, Love and Mercy.
He
plays the younger Brian Wilson. And he's amazing in it.
Oh, it has John Cusack. Maybe
yeah, John Cusack plays the older, the modern day Brian Wilson.
Mm.
That's a good movie. That's a really good movie.
Interesting. So of the Tarzan Trolls and Swiss Army Man, which was your favorite?
They're all so different.
You can only pick one. You're on a desert island.
If I had to pick one.
It's a Trolls.
Well, desert island's a bad analogy because I don't know what I would take on a desert island. I'd probably take Trolls on a desert island. Just because it's the
because
most
it's light, entertaining, like yeah, lighthearted.
It'd make me smile.
But then you could like find a dead body and fart your way through it.
That's true. That would give me hope.
Give you hope for a brighter future.
That's true. That would show me how to survive on the island.
Yeah, you'd probably jump on the water and start farting to see if you could propel yourself.
I could propel
right?
myself to safety. Yeah.
Yeah.
But which one did I? I don't know. Probably. Definitely either Tarzan or Swiss Army Man, but they're so different, so completely different movies.
Yeah, it'd be tough for me if I had to pick between The Accountant, Doctor Strange, and Tarzan. Definitely wouldn't be Doctor Strange. I thought it was fine, but I don't think I want to rewatch it.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'd go with Tarzan, even though I think Accountant's better. Just because the tone is a little more hopeful.
When I did have a TV show.
Okay.
A new show I started watching.
Yeah.
Exorcist.
Oh.
On Fox TV. Have you seen this? Are you recording it?
I am not.
You dumbass. It's fantastic.
I heard a lot of people hated it when it first came out.
They are ridiculous.
Did it take a while for you to fall in love with it, or did you right off the bat?
The show was awesome. It's okay, like,
so all you haters of The Exorcist, fuck you then. I trust my brother here.
I don't know what they hate about it. Like the overall concept is very similar to Roman Ritual. Not the religious part of it, but there, like, the main story is that there's a priest who did an exorcism like in some other country, and the kid died, so he was basically excommunicated. But not really excommunicated, he was kind of hidden away. So they put him off somewhere distant, and he kind of wasn't an active priest anymore. And then there's a younger priest who discovers this girl that he thinks possessed, and he tries to find this older priest to help, because he wants to do an exorcism.
Mm-hmm.
Which is almost exactly how Roman Ritual started.
Yeah.
And then, so it's about... So it's about the younger priest, but it's good. So it has to do with, like, the Catholic Church, because they want to bring... The church wants to bring the Pope over. I think it takes place in Chicago, I think. Yeah, I believe it does. So the Pope is coming, so they're trying to arrange that. Meanwhile, this young priest wants to... He works on the south side, and he wants the Pope to come to the south side and not just go to the rich north side. They're working with his family that has these two daughters. The family was originally concerned because they thought the older daughter was possessed. But it turns out it's actually the younger daughter. It's good. I love it. So
it was canceled already, wasn't it?
I don't know. Was it?
How many episodes have you watched?
I've watched two, and I think there's like six. I think I just recorded one recently. So it may have been canceled, but they're still showing it. Like, maybe they just didn't renew it or something.
Bill says we're stupid asses because we didn't watch Exorcist, Barb. The TV show. What do you mean it's not your fault? You set up the recorder. It's my fault. Because I don't watch TV like you. I'd rather read comic books. Now we're watching Gotham now, so we're still kind of caught up. We got caught up on something, though. We're caught up on Walking Dead and Fear the Walking Dead. But I think I told you that last time. Modern Family we're caught up on.
Yeah, we're caught up on that.
I enjoy that show. I like
that. Always good. That's just always good.
I like to watch that show when I've had a bad day. I gotta save it off for, like, it's not a drama. It's like something you don't have to think about, you know.
And for sure, Phil is the best character.
Oh, by far. and his family is the best.
Yeah, family on it.
entertainment. I find.
Yeah, well, they're all funny because his son.
I always see your son as you. Like, I see him as a little Bill.
Me, yeah.
And I see Luke as his...
Yeah, he's a little Phil.
He's a little Phil. Like, there was one episode where they were hiding that they were still staying on the trip. Like, they were supposed to fly back home. And they both lied to each other. And they see the guy David Blaine embedded in Jell-O. And it, like, broke his son's heart to lie to his father, like, because he's like...
Yeah, they wish they were there.
He wanted to share that moment with his father. Do you know what I mean? It was like, I have to tell you, he's in Jell-O. Yeah, I dig that show.
And then we're also watching... This Is Us? Is that what it's called?
I hear nothing but good things on that.
Yeah, that's good. It's getting into, like, race stuff more deeply than I thought it would.
Yeah.
They're doing a real good job. Because it's about, like, a family who... They had triplets, but one of the kids died, so they adopted a black baby who was brought to the hospital at the same time. And then it shows the family, like, in modern day and then back in the past as well, so...
Right, it has the guy who played Green Arrow in Smallville. And he was in the Aquaman pilot. He's the white older.
Okay.
He's the white brother to the black brother.
Oh yeah.
I only know this because Barb likes that show, and I watch it from the corner of my eye. I have no clue what's going on, but
it's good. It's getting into a lot of stuff that, like, deeper stuff than you would expect, I think.
Yeah.
Because they have the weight stuff with the sister, and then stuff basically about, like, because they have the what it's like with the brother and then the adopted brother.
Yeah.
And then the race stuff, like dealing with that, like being a black kid raised by a white family, and the white family, like the white mom trying to figure out how to all the stuff you need to do different with a black kid.
It makes Daryl cry. This is us, Barb. Daryl cries during that show.
Yeah, it's way deeper than I was expecting it to get. It's really well done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then the white son is like an actor, and he was like famous for a shitty sitcom.
That sounds familiar, like the Rob Lowe thing. A Fox show that was on that, where Rob Lowe was the actor.
He's the actor.
The brother was the count lawyer. Yeah. Grinder.
Yeah, Grinder. I like Grinder too.
See, Barb is like the TV. Like, she reminds me of that HBO show. What was that HBO show? The guy that used Dream On, where he would correlate everything to TV. It was an HBO show. I don't know if you remember it.
I used to watch it all the time.
Dream On. That's what Barb reminds me of, because she's like a TV encyclopedia. I like my comics. Barb likes her TV.
It's her TV.
Yeah.
Well, I do listen to her podcast, Barb on TV.
Barb on TV, yeah.
It's good.
Her bird podcast and her...
I don't listen to the bird. Don't tell her, but I don't listen to the bird podcast.
You don't care about birds?
I don't care about the damn birds.
They're shitting all over Harley. Doesn't make me happy. She like feeds squirrels on purpose.
To the bird? She feeds squirrels to the birds?
Well, we have like bird feeders that are protective against the squirrels, but she like lined up this one bird feeder so it feeds the squirrel. And this fucker is so fat and spoiled that like when the bird feeder goes down, he'll like stay perched there and just stare into the house like, where the fuck is the food?
Where's you know,
bring,
my food?
Bring the food in.
So what does Harley do?
She doesn't care less. Well, she'll like chase the squirrel, but it's not like for every now and then, like it's she's weird. Like the other day we walked out and there was like six rabbits out there. Like she didn't give a shit. Like she just the rabbits didn't even move. She just walked past them. And sometimes with the squirrel, she just doesn't see it. But with the squirrel, she'll chase off.
Mm-hmm.
But rabbits, I don't know. We have deer that show up, but she doesn't do anything either with the deer. They're so big, though.
Yeah, I don't know what she can do with those.
I always get nervous with the deer because I'm like, man, if they decided to charge me and knock me on my ass, I got old man ass.
You won't be able to get back up.
I won't be able to. My pants will fall down.
Around your ankles.
I have no ass around my ankles, and then all these people will see me with my pants down around my ankles. And
you start to run, your pants would fall down, and then the deer would. Butt you right in the ass.
Right in the ass.
The air.
And they'll say, why is that deer head caught in that guy's ass? Why is his pants down?
What is that man doing to that deer?
And you know, yeah.
The police will come over, animal control.
And they'll think like I'm one of those people that have sex with animals.
Yeah, what's that guy doing? He wants the deer to lick his ass.
Get this deer to toss my salad. But it all has to do with old man ass, and just people don't understand.
Yeah, you'll be like, it's not my fault. It's my old man ass.
Old man ass. Damn. So I think that's it for TV and movies. I still want to see that Heartbreak. No, it's not Heartbreak Ridge. It's something Ridge. But and then The Arrival I want to see, but I don't know if I'll get to the theater in time. Is The Arrival based on... Wasn't there a Charlie Sheen movie called The Arrival? I think there was a Charlie Sheen movie called The Arrival.
It sounds familiar. Hacksaw Ridge is the Ridge one.
Yeah, the Hacksaw... Oh, yeah, Charlie Sheen wasn't in Arrival. He was in The Arrival from 1986.
So it's a remake.
Well, I don't know if it is.
I don't think it is.
I know it's based on a book. The one that's out the theater now is based on a book. Oh, I don't know if the Charlie Sheen movie is.
There was a comic, The Arrival.
What was that one?
I don't know. I don't think it was based on anything. I don't think it's based on that.
Oh, I didn't read that. That was from Scholastic for sure. I didn't.
Yeah, it's a kid's one.
Anything else you want to plug? What are you going to eat for lunch?
I don't know. What am I going to eat for lunch? To figure it out. It's time to eat.
Yeah. What should I eat? Did you have a good, successful garden this year?
It was pretty good. Kind of half-assed my garden this year. Well, I usually do two gardens. I only did one.
Ah.
But, I mean, I'm mostly concerned with tomatoes and peppers. If I got tomatoes and peppers, I'm happy.
Ah.
Those are my main.
Yeah, I want Barb to make some stuffed bell peppers. I've been craving that lately.
Hmm.
You wouldn't like it. It's got... Well, she uses turkey meat now. We don't eat a lot of beef anymore, unfortunately. I know, but I went to buy that burger. I'm talking about in the house. It's pork or turkey. Barb's like anti-beef.
Well, you saw what it can
why
do
are
to
you anti-beef
person.
Lately? Oh, she says it's better for me.
Healthier. Turkey.
It's a healthy alternative. She's worried about my old man ass.
Yeah, she's got to look at it.
Yeah.
It's understandable.
If I had more beef in my diet, I wouldn't have old man ass.
You know what she's trying to do? I've seen the men that Barb likes to look at on Facebook. She's trying to turn you into
she's
one of those.
She's trying to turn me into, what's his name? El Cid or what? What the fuck is that guy's name? Joe Magdalello.
Yep. That's it. Giving you the turkey.
What's his name on TV? El Cid. She's trying to, but she will never achieve that.
Not with your old man ass.
Yeah. That's why she even made me eat the egg, because she's like, if he vomits it all out.
That's right. He'll get thin.
He'll get thin. It'll be like I'll be bulimic like the Carpenters. But that is scary. Barb did watch the Carpenters, like the Karen Carpenter story.
Mm-hmm.
It was a documentary, but they had actors reenacting like parts of her life. That is sad, man. I mean, that is awful. And then when you thought she was getting better, she just regressed. I mean, it just. And then the stuff she would take was killing her because she was throwing up. You know what I mean? It was crazy. I hate throwing up. Even though I shake the whole house, I'm like a Black Bolt from the Inhumans. If you ever wonder what it's like, you know, come to my house and get me sick. And if you ever wonder what Black Bolt in the Inhumans, you know how he doesn't talk. He does. He levels the mountain. When I throw up, it's like you I'm black.
Level.
That's another good title is a Black Bolt Vomit. that I would like to title this one.
It's like wool vomit.
I'll put a poll out and say, what should I name this one? Old man ass or black
bull? Vomit.
see what people
see which one wins.
Yeah. How about you? Have you eaten anything mysterious or challenging?
Not that I can remember. Nah. Nothing too unusual. I think for Thanksgiving I'm gonna make rice pudding. Cinnamon rice pudding.
Cinnamon? You and your cinnamon now. I know what to buy him for Christmas. We should send him some cinnamon sometime. Coupons for cinnamon ice cream, does that exist?
I don't think you can get cinnamon ice cream at the stores.
Well, I'm going to go Google it right now and see if I could have some cinnamon ice cream shipped. It'll be all melted. But maybe you can refreeze it.
And then I think for Christmas, I'm going to make mushroom risotto.
Barbara would probably eat that. I wouldn't. For some reason, I'm not into mushrooms.
Mushrooms are delicious.
I'll eat them on pizza, but it's fungus, man.
Yeah, good. It's good fungus.
You know mushrooms are fungus, right?
Yeah.
You know delicious. They can cause you to hallucinate?
I hope.
That's and they can cause you to fart a lot, too.
Fungus?
Yeah.
I think you're thinking of beans.
No, fungus mushroom will cause you to fart.
I've never experienced...
Go had a bowl of mushrooms and then...
Yeah, you'd have to probably eat a lot of mushrooms.
Tell me about your old man ass after that.
I'll be hallucinating and farting. Maybe I haven't noticed that I was tripping so much.
I wonder if Twitter will let me put this on there. I'm going to see if I could do
it. That's a poll.
Yeah. I wonder if anybody will answer it. Let's see. Old man ass. There's the Twitters. And then we'll say tweet. And this is add a poll. What shall...
I think they'll allow it. I don't think Twitter
title
much stuff.
The next. Well, ass is not a bad word. It's a thing.
You can say bad words on Twitter.
I know.
Twitter don't give a shit.
What shall we title the... Oh, I say fuck all the time. What shall... During the election, I was screaming that. What shall we title the episode of Geek Brunch? And then the choices are old man ass or black bolt vomit. Let's see if anybody replies. All right. Well, this has been a fine episode of Geek Brunch, which I'm going to have to edit together.
Or you can release it as two episodes.
That's and we'll have two in the can. One that
you could have old man ass, and then full vomit.
I have 38 minutes of one, and 2 hours and 5 minutes of the other. So you can reach us at Geek Brunch Podcast. Leave an iTunes review. Check out Bill's comic. Tell them where they can reach it again, Bill.
You can find that at alfieandmrbubbles.com.
Yes. Support
you can find it on Alfie. Twitter and Facebook.
And retweet it. Get the word out on this comic.
Yes, we're having a lot of fun making it. So
it's a father and son.
Sharing is appreciated.
And you shall see our webcomic soon. It's going to be called Old Man Ass.
Old Man Ass.
Old Man Ass. And it's about your pants falling down.
And getting your salad tossed.
Yeah, by wildlife. By wildlife. So, on the Twitters, @do_what. What the hell did that come from? That's Micah. Go ahead and tweet him.
Yes, you can follow him. He'll inform you.
@dbm00 and @MikeMyersBrunch. And on the emails, Bill@comicbooknoise.com and Mike@comicbooknoise.com. Send us email. What the fuck? We'd like to read some email every now and then.
Yes, that would be.
That would be very nice of you to do.
We will read it and we will make fun of ourselves.
Yeah, there you go. And what the hell? On the Facebook, you could go Geek Brunch Podcast.
Yes.
And we used to be on Forum for Geeks. Check out Forum for Geeks. It's down yes. to Geek Brunch.
If you get a virus,
it's not our fault.
It's
not our
fault. It's whoever.
And on that note, go have a egg on your burger.
Yes. Just make sure you
side up.
Wash your hands. Before you
that's if you make it yourself. What if you go to a restaurant?
You're taking your life in your own hands when you go to a restaurant.
Yeah, I guess so.
You sue. You should sue them. Tell them you had Black Bolt vomit from
the restaurant was called Eureka. Eureka! That's what I was saying when I was throwing up. Eureka! Blah, blah, blah.
Eureka! Eureka!
You can't do a poll on Facebook anymore, can you?
I don't know.
It used to have a poll. I think I could poll people in Geek Brunch. I think you have to be part of a group.
Oh, do it through the group.
Yeah, that sucks. I would like to do a poll on mine. I have more followers than I have Geek Brunch.
You could do it on Geek Brunch and share it on your page.
Maybe. I don't know how I add a poll here either.
I don't remember a Facebook poll.
It used to have an option where you could do it. It sucks. Offer event? What the hell? Create an event, create a milestone, write a note, create an offer for people to claim. I don't know. God dang it. I'll have to Google.
Do not offer your old man ass.
Yeah.
People might take it the wrong way.
All right, Bill. Well, I'll talk to you soon, and have a good Thanksgiving.
You too.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye.